go. Head On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! And here we go. It is the 20th day of February. Nah, just kidding. That's just from last night. It's the 20th day of October, 2015. I survived an evening of breathing my neighbor's fireplace coal smoke. No kidding. And we got way up into the 70s today, so with any luck at all, I won't have to breathe that crap two nights in a row. You know, with any luck. One never knows, however. This is The Horn. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com is where we live. That's where you go if you want to jump into the chat room. A marvelous, magnificent, madcap, multimedia, real-time extravaganza that happens every night on the air here. Yep. And it is always capably moderated by Lottie and Sparky. Sparky being a third stage guild navigator who has folded space this evening to become Man Cave to celebrate the day after his birthday. Yes. Good evening, Jug of Punch. Good evening, Kathy. Good evening, Will in Chicago, Lottie and Sparky, and more to wander along presently. We are off and running on Titanic Tuesday. Titanic Tuesday, so named for attempts at Titanic intellect. Displays of Titanic intellect that we see from time to time in the right wing and occasionally in other locations as well, but primarily right wing. Because there's just something iceberg dead ahead about watching a member of the right wing try to engage in intellectual, you know, processes. We do try to raise $200 every evening to keep up with the expenses that we have recurring through the month, through the weeks. We got bills waiting to pay, and hopefully we'll find 10 folks at $20 this evening, or 20 folks at $10, or, oh, one at 200, or two at 100, four at 50, eight at 25, 16 at 12, 50, 32 at 6 1/4. Oh, I'm doing me some pretty good gazettas this evening. And we pulled up, by the way, $30 short on Sparky's birthday challenge yesterday evening. So thanks one and all to everyone who got us that close. It is much, much appreciated. Now, Titanic Tuesday, and we've got, remember, that's named after something our buddy Jim heard one morning on the air. Back when the local AM radio station over in Beckley, America's fifth smallest radio market, was attempting to, well, he was probably reading the newspaper to his listeners or putting them to sleep, you know, sending them crashing into light standards out on the turnpike, that kind of thing. When someone called in, and this was back when they actually did live radio over there, they've since quit. They bring everything in via satellite. People like Our buddy Steve there was replaced by Andrea Tarantula. No kidding. Our favorite. But Steve was prattling along when someone called in one morning and said, "Steve, how come do you reckon it is that there is seashells in the rocks in West Virginia? We ain't nowhere near the beach. It's about 6 hours to Myrtle." To which Steve stentorianly and monotonously replied, "Well, caller, that's because of the movement of the Titanic plates." Still no word on the movement of the Titanic lace doilies. No. So we use that as sort of the avatar for what we tend to run into on Tuesdays. Oh, by the way, Benghazi! Just wondering, stay awake. I'm challenged as to where to start this evening on Titanic Tuesday. Because we have so very many places we could pick. But I got something here that's probably not going to show up in any other program's lineup. This comes from the right-wing PR pitch files. I don't know who else would have this, and we're certainly not going to have any of these weirdos on the program. They don't deserve any more time than they already get, but I did. I got an email from KellyOliverPR.com. And Kelly is the person who is the PR flack for the Parents Television Council. I guess it's a council of parents' television. No, what they are is a bunch of right-wing weirdos who are constantly upset about what's going on the electric TV box. Dateline Los Angeles. Now, what was it? It was yesterday, wasn't it? When I was talking about the right-wing proclivity for getting angry at things that aren't real. Yeah, they worship things that aren't real. They pray to things that aren't real, and they're afraid of, you know, demons and devils and things that aren't real, and they get mad at things that aren't real. And damn it, they are. You may recall I mentioned it all started with the original Donald Wildman getting mad at Warner Brothers cartoons. Such an interesting monster. Right? And that was followed in later years by Jerry Falwell, now merrily roasting in hell, also not real. Jerry Falwell getting mad at Tinky Winky. "Brothers and sisters, he is a triangle for it's his, her, I don't know, symbol in purple. That's the favorite color of the homosexuals, and he carries a purse. And then there was James Dobson getting upset about SpongeBob SquarePants, right? Is it true that mumbling Ben Carson's Halloween costume has been leaked to the media, and he's going to go to a Halloween party as SpongeBrain SquarePants? Yeah, never mind. No, but the Dr. Dobson got mad at SpongeBob for having a pink starfish for a friend under the sea. Well, now this. Here, this is direct from the email. "Hi, Bob. Hi, Kelly. The Parents Television Council has released new research." Research? Like with a laboratory and test tubes and everything? Nah, it's just our opinion.
finding that ABC's new TV show featuring the iconic Muppets exposes children to adult-themed content every 3 minutes. And Kermit and Miss Piggy have delivered nearly half of all the sexual innuendos and references on the show. The main findings are below. More details can be found. URL. Would you like to talk about this with PTC? No, Kelly, because I think you're all dumber than hell. No, really? They're upset about puppet sex. Foam rubber sex. Foam rubber and, you know, wire manipulated. How twisted an upstanding, God-fearing, Bible-believing, Christ-centered Christian do you have to be to sit around thinking about puppets getting it on? Let's get it on. Yeah. Over 4 million children ages 2 to 11 who watched ABC's The Muppets were exposed to adult-themed content every 3 minutes and 38 seconds during the first 4 episodes. Think about the fuzzy fake fur and the, oh, and iconic stars of the show, Kermit and Miss Piggy, have delivered nearly half of all sexual innuendos and references on show. No, that's right. They just referred to a pair of inanimate puppets as stars of the show and being iconic. Because, see, Parents Television Council, and can we talk, PTC? Can I call you that, PTC? They're not real. There's not really a Miss Piggy, and there's not really a Kermit the Frog. They were originally creations in the mind of Jim Henson, who has since gone to his long home. At best, the performances are by the voice actors and the puppeteers who make the puppets move. Did you never wonder, PTC, why you don't see much of Kermit's legs? Oh, it gets worse. Additionally, one bar scene in the 4th episode was long enough to consume almost one quarter of the show's screen time, during which Muppet characters were shown drinking and becoming drunk from beer, wine, and hard liquor. PTC, and I'm going to keep calling you that, PTC. Did you know that puppets can't actually drink anything? I know. It's going to come as a shock to you, and a lot of dreams have just been savaged in the last minute or so. Savage! And Kelly Oliver over at the Parents Television Council. What does he mean, Miss Piggy's not real? She's my heroine! Don't say heroine in West Virginia. Nielsen data indicates that over 1 million children ages 2 to 11 have watched The Muppets each week, and of the children who are watching, the ratio of young children ages 2 to 11 is more than twice that of older children ages 12 to 17. By the way, Parents Television Council, I'm going to address you by your formal name because I want to make sure this gets all the way through. You know where those children are going to be exposed to adult themes more than anywhere else? Church! You know what the dirtiest book in the world is, Parents Television Council? The Bible! It's all full of rape and incest and warring and slaughtering and killing everything that walks, crawls, or flies, or rubs its belly on the ground, and people getting the earth salted out from under them, and God's coming down, and
doing it to little virgin girls in the middle of the night so they don't know that they've been done, but they want, hey, why am I pregnant? Yeah, that kind of thing. I'd say those are pretty adult themes. We got hunger in this country. We have homelessness. God knows we have epidemic levels of drug addiction in some places. Yeah. Is PTC concerned? Hell no! They've got a good grift going on here. You're getting the fundies all ginned up. The right-wing, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, getting them all ginned up about puppets. Yeah. Kermit and Miss Piggy, please meet Joe Camel. It is a tragedy that one of the most iconic children's television shows in history, The Muppets, would be so filled with adult content, sexual innuendos, sexual references, drugs and alcohol to be exact. Really? Really? Miss Piggy's out there honking on a number? Or she got the tourniquet around her arm and she's firing up and she's got her rig all set. And is that really heroin, or her being a pig, is that nitrites? Never mind, it's a bacon joke. That it would become too toxic for children. Our research shows The Muppets isn't a show for kids, yet it was supposedly created for families to watch together. What are the Mormons going to do? Perhaps that's why ratings for the show continue to sink every week, said PTC President Tim Winter. It's hard to imagine another primetime TV show that, in theory, should be safe for parents and children to watch together other than The Muppets. But you have Miss Piggy talking about having plastic surgery on her breastises and Botox, Kermit talking about cross-promoting with a female character. Oh, no, not cross-promoting! And a variety of characters drinking at a bar. The disconnect Hollywood has from the rest of America over a definition of family programming is astounding. Will somebody please get these people a Xanax or a Jack and Coke or a Doobie or something? Chill out, you freaks. Make no mistake, children are inherently attracted to the Muppets, and over a million young children are watching the program each week. No matter how edgy ABC or the show's producers want to make the Muppets, kids still reasonably believe the show is for them. Because we asked some reasonable children and they said, yes, that show is for us. Don't bogart that joint. Pass it over. We urge the network and everyone involved with this program to rethink the dangerous direction of this program. Yeah, I mean, we're only one episode away from the titillating S&M bondage scene between Kermit and Miss Piggy. Major findings. They didn't send me the minor findings. In just four episodes, there were a total of 33 instances of adult-themed content. Let's see, 33 divided by 4. That's 7 per show. That's equivalent to one instance of adult-themed content airing every 3 minutes and 38 seconds. Most of the adult-themed content with the show consisted of sexual innuendos or alcohol and drug references depictions. 46% of the adult-themed content was sexual, showing that little green penis. No. I don't think they can do that on ABC yet. Maybe it had something to do with whether Fozzie Bear does something in the woods. The following Muppet characters delivered sexual, alcohol, or drug-related content. Miss Piggy, Kermit, Fozzie. Oh, we know, you know, Fozzie, he's a pervert. Scooter, The Band, Yolanda, Animal, Rizzo, Sam, Zoot, Dr. Bunsen, Honeydew, Bobo, Waldorf, Floyd, Uncle Deadly, Pepe, Sweetums, and Swedish Chef? Over 70% of all alcohol and drug references depictions aired in the two most recent episodes. The number of instances doesn't tell the full story of how much adult-themed content a child watching The Muppets would consume. How much smut would a kid consume if a Muppet could consume smut? So they're afraid that children are going to find out that there is sex. And I imagine most of those kids have probably seen Mommy and Daddy have a glass of wine or a beer or something like that. Violence was not included in the analysis. However, the few instances of violence were mild. Also, there were a few instances of mild language, e.g. suck and hell. These were not counted in the data. Therefore, relative to language, only sexual language was included in the study. Sexual language. Wonder how hard you have to use your imagination to come up with Muppets using sexual language. I mean, they gave suck and hell a pass. Am I to understand that in family programming time on ABC, the Muppets are using the F word and the C word and the oh dear.
Hey, Miss Piggy, let me see your vagina.
I just don't think it's there. I think these people are a bunch of lying evangelical fundamentalists. Steve in New York pointing out, you know, the PTC are dumber than hell and sick as shit obsessing about Muppet sex. I just threw up in my throat. Oh, there's an old joke that used to go around. I'm not going to tell it. No, I won't. I won't. Bob in Texas wants to know, was the PTC formed in the United Stoops of America? Well, kinda. Look, if you're a right-wing evangelical fundamentalist and you've got something you want to be outraged about, the whole world is your oyster. Yeah. It's really kind of pathetic. Meanwhile, Ron and Raleigh says, I find it odd, because Miss Piggy and Kermit broke up in the first episode because Kermit said that Miss Piggy had turned his life into a bacon-wrapped hell. Oh, that's kind of funny. No, it's not! They're perverting our children! Maybe we could get Jim Baker to do a puppet show instead. You know, they used to work with puppets. Here, kids, have Mommy and Daddy send me $1,800 for a bucket of bucket pudding. Look. Oh, you guys are good. Steve in New York's like Bill O'Reilly language? Hey, get me another fucking iced tea, Swedish Chef. Well, I went to the Swedish Chef's restaurant and nobody there was calling anybody a mother for her. Oh, and I hate to be proven right, but got a note from GK up in Minnesota from a story last night. Remember the story of the kid who attacked the Muslim woman in the Bloomington, Indiana restaurant? Subject line, did get legs. Hey, Bob, the story of the freak who supposedly a Sanders supporter who accosted a Muslim woman in Indiana did indeed get legs. Just heard it on local radio station. Methinks I smell a rat. I kind of do, too, because this kid was only retweeting Bernie. He wasn't saying anything about Bernie himself. But they jumped right out there to prove that, Lottie in the chat room noting, Bob, I think there's a court order to tell those two to keep their puppets in their pants. Yeah. I told you, I do. I think Titanic Tuesday is going to be downright fun. But that's about as funny as it gets. I mean, you can kind of laugh at a bunch of allegedly fully grown, mature adults having hissies over puppets. Filthy puppets. Filthy, filthy. Hey, Parents Television Council, Miss Piggy isn't really a pig, and Kermit the Frog isn't actually a frog. I know it's going to come as a total surprise to them. Good God, they're forever angry. Would you like to have someone on to talk about this? Can you imagine if I actually gave away our airtime to those freaks? Yeah. Oh, by the way, just along the way, congratulations all of you up in Canada, because I'm sure you had some hand in bouncing Stephen Harper out of the government. You will be having a new prime minister, the son of Pierre Trudeau, who is a boxer. He boxes for charity and stuff. Yeah. And it was apparently a pretty good ass whipping. Made me feel good. Now maybe y'all can do something about that Keystone XL pipeline. Nah, probably not. In fact, Ron in the Unfrozen North informs me the Internet version 1 is delivering the horn to newly liberated from fascism Eastern Ontario in fine form. Nice to know the great firewall of liberalism hasn't quite gone up in Canada yet. You know, y'all be wandering around in little mouse suits any day now. Well, while the Parents Television Council sits up nights worrying about frog on pig sex and dealing with the horrors of having their precious little lumpkins come down for breakfast and say, hey, Mom, fix me some bacon, will ya? Because, you know, that's what you learn on the Muppets. The rest of the world is going quietly to hell. Let's check in down in Dixie, down in Mississippi Stand, shall we? You're going to love this. You might want to have the hockey puck handy. There's a state representative down in Mississippi Stan whose name is really Representative Bubba Carpenter. I'm not making that up. No. Bubba. I mean, it's a perfectly respectable name down there. And Bubba is upset about a ballot initiative in Mississippi Stan whose purpose is to make Mississippi education a little bit better. You might recall my conversation with Flavio last night in which I informed him, listen, Flavio, Mississippi, Wisconsin is not Mississippi, yet. Emphasis on the word yet. Because you're going to have to be doing this kind of stuff, you Wisconsinians, if you really want to think you've gone all the way to Mississippi, Stan, you got some work to do. This story's out of the Clarion Ledger down that way. And representing Bubba Carpenter, who is, of course, a Republican. They don't allow Democrats to make it out of the cradle down there. Mm-hmm. But they got a ballot initiative down there that's designed to improve educational standards for all children in Mississippi. So folks at WMRG captured Bubba a-talking away with his mouth, addressing the Tishomingo County Midway Republican rally about the dangers inherent in Initiative 42. What Initiative 42 would do would allow a Hinds County, Mississippi judge to tweak school funding schemes if the Mississippi legislature, which, by the way, is full of family values Republicans, if they manage to not lift Mississippi up out of its dead last educational standards. Well, let's check in, and then we'll examine the details. Let's check in with representing Bubba Carpenter talking to the Tishomingo County Midway Republicans. Shall we? Do let's.
What's fixing to happen if Initiative 42 passes, and Donnie can tell you this himself, it's come, and Delbert Hosman will be here Thursday in Corinth, he'll tell you the same thing. The governor will be here the 31st, he'll tell you the same thing. If 42 passes in its form, a judge in Hinds County, Mississippi, predominantly black, it's going to be a black judge. They're going to tell us where the state of education money goes. So what's he going to do? Tishomingo County, you've got a little bit of extra money. We're going to take a little bit of that. And I can see this happening. I may not, but I can see it. We're going to help.
In other words, this is entirely a product of his imagination. I can see it. It may not, but I can see it. Right. Okay.
Rolling forward, because they don't have as good a tax base as you guys do. So we're going to take a little bit of that money, and we're going to transition it to rolling forward.
You got that? If this here initiative passes, a black judge from a black county is going to take your white money away to make them black schools better, where them black people live in their predominantly black county. And you know what's worse? The two judges in Hinds County? Well, they're black, but what's worse? They black women's. And just so we're clear on this, you know, down in Spanish, in Spanish-speaking countries, J-E-S-U-S is Jesus, right? Jesus is a common name. Well, Bubba Carpenter, that's redneck for Jesus. They don't, down there, they don't call him the brown-skinned Palestinian day laborer and itinerant semi-literate rabbi. There's entirely too many syllables in that for your average Republican redneck. So they just call him Bubba Carpenter. As in, Bubba Carpenter wept. And he's going to weep if two black women judges start taking money from Tishomingo County to make sure that those children have a halfway decent education. Sam Hall at the Clarion Ledger wrote, well, there it is, folks. Let's all thank Bubba Carpenter for saying what he means and illustrating to the world the filthy rhetoric that still passes for political discourse by some here. Yeah, it's going to take a while. Yeah, what, generations? Who knows? The Clarion Ledger, a Gannett paper, said, many assume the Hinds County judge language is used as a means of saying black judge, though opponents have been adamant that such a claim is ridiculous, even feigning insult when the question is asked. But there's Bubba Carpenter. By the way, a Hinds County judge? Hinds County is the county that in which Jackson, Mississippi resides. In other words, the state capital. So a judge in the state capital, instead of saying the state capital, he says Hinds County. Never seems to change, does it? But it's not just Mississippi. No, no, no. Let's have a look over in Montana. Hi, Bill. Hi, Kate. The governor of Montana is a Democrat by the name of Steve Bullock. And apparently he's about had it up to here, there, somewhere, with the Republicans that he has to deal with. Among the things that have earned the ire of Governor Bullock, the Republicans in Montana, who called for blocking $40 million in preschool grants from the federal government, because the Republicans said it was unfair to give that money, wrong accent, I know, but still, it was unfair to give that money to all those damned public schools and not give any of it to the private schools who are educating our children about Jesus. Okay, I added the Jesus part. This is preschool, because, see, Montana is one of six states that don't invest in preschool. 50 Republican lawmakers in August wrote a letter, signed a letter, opposing public preschools. That's after this, earlier this year in April, the Republicans killed off a plan to add $37 million in preschool funding. So Governor Bullock has said, I start to worry that some of them might hate four-year-olds, too. Because, see, the Republicans, they're concerned about the free market. Yeah, except, of course, they're not. They're liars. The right-wing, white-wing legislators, I mean, it's Montana, come on. They said to, creation of government-provided free preschools will most certainly drive existing private preschools from the market. Never mind the fact that there's, even though there's a whole lot more cattle than people in Montana, that's not a slur, it's just a reality. It's a big damn state, very few people in it. The children who would be served by the federally funded preschool are children who aren't going to preschool now because their parents can't afford the private for-profit preschools. Oh, God. So you're right, Governor Bullock. I think it's a safe bet to say that Republicans do hate some some four-year-olds, not all four-year-olds, they hate some four-year-olds. You know, some four-year-olds who are not the four-year-old children of wealthy, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered Christian. You get the idea. In regard to Canada, Ron informs me, I'll take happy socialism to the bitter dregs of freedom any day. I imagine most Canadians are like that. I mean, what's it like to live in a country where you can go to the doctor when you're sick, even if you're poor? Although GK in Minnesota cautions some caution. He said, with respect to their new PM in Canada, he's for Keystone XL and the TPP, so I've heard. I'm just saying. Right, I get it. Guarded optimism, at best. Up in Alberta, Kelly writes, the king is dead. Long live the king. But you know what? I just figured out the connection. It all makes sense to me now. Going back to that Montana story, of course they want to prevent the precious little children from going to publicly funded preschool up there. You know what they do in them preschool? They watch them Muppets having that Muppet sex. Yes. Just ask the Parents Television Council. Them little four-year-old takers wanting free preschool. More free stuff, damn it! Oh, yeah. Oh, what else? What else? We do. We've got an abundance. Oh, the angry Indian informs me that with the election of Prime Minister to be Prime Minister elect Trudeau. I mean, does he become Prime Minister immediately? But anyway, with his election, Canada has withdrawn fighter jets from Iraq and Syria, or is going to withdraw them, according to a call made by, Trudeau. Agence France-Presse says Trudeau informs Obama. And there's the story, courtesy of Mother Jones. Thanks, GK. Canada's new prime minister may be a liberal, but he still loves the Keystone Pipeline. Well, that's effing charming. It's actually a story from The Guardian. Well before his stunning victory in Canada's elections, Justin Trudeau, the Liberal Party leader, telephoned David Suzuki, the country's best-known science broadcaster, environmentalist, and national treasure, to ask for his endorsement. The conversation did not go well. Suzuki admitted to journalists he called Trudeau a twerp, and the Liberal leader dismissed his critique of the party's climate policy as sanctimonious crap. Those hoping for a U-turn in Canada's climate change policy after Conservative Prime Minister Stephen Harper's crushing defeat are in for a reality check. Trudeau has repudiated Harper's vision of Canada as an energy superpower, promised to reverse devastating cuts to government science budgets, and fix the country's reputation as a carbon bully in international climate negotiations. But it would be a mistake to see Trudeau or the Liberals as climate champions. In his victory speech on Monday, there was no mention of climate change, and he was criticized for being vague on the issue during campaigning. Trudeau will take part in the Paris conference at year's end. Um, the campaign platform called for setting up a fund of $2 billion to help clean energy projects. But yes, he is a supporter of the Keystone XL pipeline, which has turned parts of Alberta into moonscapes every bit as nasty as a mountaintop removal site, maybe even nastier. The leader of the Green Party in Canada, Elizabeth May, and Canada's Green Party is a real party because there's proportional representation and things like that, and theoretically they can actually have seats in Parliament. It's not like the Green Party down here. No. But Elizabeth May called on him to think about climate change. Elizabeth May said, "When can we sit down and talk about the climate conference? We only have 40 days for Canada to get our act together. I'm very concerned that we have to rebuild the damage that Stephen Harper has done to our laws, to some of our policies, to our reputation in the world." Then there's that conversation with David Suzuki. Suzuki told the CBC, "I said, Justin, stop it. You're just being political. I know that you want to make headway in Alberta, so you're for the continued development of the tar sands, you're for the Keystone Pipeline, but you're against the Northern Gateway Pipeline. You're all over the damn map." But young Justin Trudeau is a politician, and you know, and that goes with, "I'm not a scientist." And apparently Mr. Suzuki informed him that keeping warming to 2 degrees Celsius would mean that 80% of the crude in the tar sands has to stay in the ground. So one hopes, and one understands when one says something like one hopes, that one may hope in one hand and want in the other and see which one fills up first. One hopes that maybe Mr. Trudeau will find the political will and the political courage to address, you know, the single greatest existential threat faced by this species, qua a species, on the planet. And again, I'm a humanocentric, and I admit it. And I like the idea of humans being able to continue living on the planet and not going extinct or getting pared down to, you know, 2,000 or so exemplars of the species, so that we all wind up future humans wind up all big-eared and buggy-eyed and playing banjos. It apparently will take about 2 to 3 weeks for the transfer of power to take place in Canada. Ron points out, from my privileged position of being a mere mortal in Canada, I have to point out that we have to be a member of the TPP. We're a trading nation. If trade is hampered, we wither on the vine. The U.S. is theoretically a manufacturing economy, which puts U.S. interests at odds with Canada's absolute need to ship resources, cars, and cold fronts. Emphasis on cold fronts, but maybe not so cold. Again, from Agence France-Presse, today, a fascinating article. Looks a lot like journalism. And maybe it would, maybe young Mr. Trudeau should take a trip up to the Arctic portion of Canada, which is huge. The Agence France-Presse story, "Warming opens famed Northwest Passage to navigation." And this, again, is a story from today. "Beneath the where's Barbie? Beneath the Aurora Borealis, an oil tanker glides through the night, past the Coast Guard icebreaker Amundsen and vanishes into the maze of shoals and streets of the Northwest Passage, navigating waters that for millennia were frozen over this time of year. Millennia! You notice the word millennia there? Waters that for millennia were frozen over at this time of year and now ain't? Warming has forced a retreat of the polar ice cap, opening up a sea route through the Canadian Arctic archipelago and connecting the Atlantic and Pacific Oceans for several months of the year. And like I said, the Canadian Arctic is freaking huge. It is almost the size of the entire European Union. Most of that Canadian Arctic seabed, according to Agence France-Presse, remains largely uncharted. The waters can be shallow. Navigation can be difficult, if not deadly, even in ice-free conditions. Since European arrival in the New World, new to them, the Northwest Passage has been a fond dream because of the amount of the travel time that would be cut down in getting from Europe to Asia. The captain of the ship from which this report was written remarked, or rather a meteorologist with the Canadian Ice Service, Roger Provost. He is a scientist, see. He said, Provost looked with amazement from the wheelhouse at the lack of any ice cover around the Coast Guard ship Amundsen. Anyone who still denies climate change is real has their head in the ground. They're blind. In 37 years of Arctic exploration, he said he never imagined ever seeing this, pointing to satellite images showing a clear path through the Queen Maud Gulf and the McClintock Channel where the Amundsen is headed.
Well, hey, then, climate change is, like, good for business, right? Oh, we don't need to keep that filthy tar sands oil in the sand, or ground, or tundra. No, hell no. We need to pump that stuff out so we can heat up the planet and melt some more of that ice, and then, well, the dream of Henry Hudson will have been finally realized.
Yeah. Because, I mean, wouldn't that be cool if the polar ice cap was just melted and everybody could make a mad rush up there, a mad dash, to put up oil platforms and stuff and drill for oil and make more money for oil companies and the Chinese and the Canadians and the Russians and the Merkins? Maybe we... Hey! This has real potential. Maybe we could fight a war over the Arctic with navies and stuff and missiles and lots of things that go boom. Another war for oil. What's not to like? Out Vancouver way. Brother Deacon Asa says, Bob, I think Justin Trudeau gets it that climate change is a pressing issue, this despite him being a center-right candidate. However, I know he would almost have to be less militant about it during the campaign. Otherwise, he couldn't have assembled the commanding majority he did last night. A lot of mouthwalkers up here, too, you know. Yep, mouthwalkers and knuckle breathers. Ron pointing out, I've met David Suzuki twice. He's arrogant and entirely used to being the center of attention. He's also very smart, which tends to balance the scales. I suspect Trudeau's real views are more inclined towards making moves toward changing our climate change policies now that the election is history. By the way, how long will it be until the oil tankers are moving from the North Slope through the Northwest Passage directly to the East Coast in Europe? I was thinking more like how long before the North Sea crude from Europe is going through the Northwest Passage to China? Because, you know, I think that way. But not long. I mean, the time, it's October, and the Northwest Passage is freaking open. There's a difference between the Northwest Passage being open in, say, June and October. A big difference, really, when you get right down to it. Very. Indeed. So that's the beginning, at least, for Titanic Tuesday. God knows we have plenty more where that came from. And, of course, the phone lines, now that the filibobster is closed, the phone lines are open. Of course, I can also filibobster some more of the program. I can filibobster the whole 3 hours if you want. But you know the numbers, I trust, 304-574-8178 or 304-663-HORN, 304-663-4676. We call that the stress line, named for the gone but not forgotten Bill, Mr. Stress, Miller. It being a Tuesday, the 20th day of October, 2015, not February. Nope, no coal burning yet. It's a good sign. We've got the Green News Report coming up with Brad Friedman and Desi Doyen. I look forward to it every Tuesday and every Thursday. As noted, we try to raise $200 every evening to keep the bills paid here. We are at present at zero. So maybe not staying at zero would be kind of a nice thing. But anyway, a little break, Green News Report, and then your conversation. This is listener-supported conversation radio. This is The Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid.
So many songs about rainbows and what's on the other side. Rainbows are visions, but only illusions, and rainbows have nothing to hide. So we've been told, and some choose to believe it. I know they're wrong, wait and see. Someday we'll find it, the rainbow connection, the lovers, the dreamers, and me. Who said that every wish would be heard and answered when wished on the morning star? Somebody thought of that, and someone believed it. Look what it's done so far. What's so amazing that keeps us stargazing, and what do we think we might see? Someday we'll find it, the rainbow connection, the lovers, the dreamers, and me. All of us under its spell, we know that it's probably magic. Have you been half asleep, and have you heard voices? I've heard them calling my name. Is this the sweet sound that calls the young sailor? The voice might be one and the same. I've heard it too many times to ignore it. It's something that I'm supposed to be. Someday we'll find it, the rainbow connection, the lovers, the dreamers, and me.
It's Tuesday, October 20, 2015.
We now know there will be no more drilling in the Arctic during the Obama presidency. This one's done.
Obama administration shuts down Arctic oil drilling. Accountability may be coming for Exxon's climate deception.
The time, I think, has come to move to a new generation of technology.
Big changes ahead for the auto industry. Plus, conservatives out, liberals in Canada. So what about that whole Keystone XL pipeline thing?
Yeah, what about it? All of those stories and more straight ahead from bradblog.com. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comment.
We'll be fine with the environment. We can leave a little bit, but you can't destroy businesses.
Okay, well, thank you for leaving a little bit of the environment, Donald Trump. This is your Green News Report.
I'm gonna soak up the sun.
Okay, Desi Doyen, a lot of, frankly, really huge stories today. We have just learned that the Liberals have taken over the Canadian government, throwing out the Conservative Party and Prime Minister Stephen Harper. This could have a huge effect on the Keystone XL pipeline and the Energy East pipeline, both controversial and set to ship dirty tar sands oil from Alberta all over the place. I guess it remains to be seen now what will happen with a new Liberal government in charge up in Canada.
Yeah, we should hopefully have more on that in our next episode, but it very possibly could put an end to the nearly 10-year pro-oil agenda of the Harper administration.
Yes, underline the word possibly, given that just days ago, the co-chair for the Justin Trudeau campaign, he's the head of the Liberals, had to resign because of his ties to TransCanada and the oil industry. So a lot of questions, but an encouraging sign, perhaps, at least that Harper is gone. All right. What other earth-shaking news do you have for us today, Desi Doyen?
Well, accountability may be coming for Exxon. We've been telling you about the blockbuster investigation revealing that Exxon executives knew about the dangers of burning fossil fuels in causing global warming as early as 1977, but Exxon copied the tobacco industry and spent millions of dollars funding front groups to deceive the public and policymakers about the scientific evidence. Now, Congressman Ted Lieu and Mark DeSaulnier, both Democrats from California, have asked the U.S. Justice Department to investigate Exxon in the same way the Justice Department investigated and successfully convicted Big Tobacco on racketeering charges 10 years ago for conspiring to deceive the public. Congressman Lieu explained on the broadcast that it isn't just that Exxon remained silent on what they knew.
They were taking affirmative steps both in what they said, who they funded, and actions they took to push back against climate change science. And keep in mind, they internally took actions to take advantage of global warming. So This is beyond hypocrisy. I'm not even sure what to call it.
What the congressman was referring to there was the fact that not only did Exxon know, but they tried to take advantage of the fact that the Arctic would be melting, and hey, makes it easier to drill up there in the Arctic without all of that ice.
Speaking of the Arctic, another setback for big oil in the Arctic. On Friday, the Interior Department announced that it has halted all auctions of leases to drill for oil and gas in the U.S. waters off the coast of Alaska due to the lack of interest from the oil industry due to slumping global oil prices. Interior Department also announced it will not renew or extend any existing leases in the Arctic, and that includes leases held by Shell Oil, which abandoned its efforts in the Arctic last month after getting disappointing results.
And after getting approval from the Obama administration to do it in the first place, I am glad they have flip-flopped now, so to speak. So, good for them. About time.
Meanwhile, a big shift underway in the auto industry. After automaker Volkswagen was caught red-handed cheating on U.S. emissions tests, Tesla CEO Elon Musk suggested this may signal the end of the internal combustion engine.
What the Volkswagen is really showing is that we've reached the limit of what's possible with diesel and gasoline.
It appears Volkswagen agrees. VW executives have announced, quote, the future is electric, and in a statement they say they will now focus their product range and core technologies on building long-range, all-electric and plug-in hybrid cars across all of their brands. And it's not just Volkswagen. Swedish automaker Volvo is also going electric, saying, quote, we believe the time has come for electric vehicles. Volvo announced it will offer plug-ins or hybrid versions of every model it sells within 4 years.
And that comes on the heels of BMW saying that every single car they make will be electric in some form or another over the next 10 years.
Plus, Japanese automaker Toyota says it will make virtually all gasoline engines from its product line extinct by 2050, focusing on hybrids and electrics and hydrogen fuel cell vehicles.
Nothing but good news today. For more on all of those stories and the ones we couldn't get to, check out our website at greennews.bradblog.com. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report.
Changes. Turn and face the strange. Changes. Don't want to be a richer man.
And 9 minutes past the hour, and we begin the second hour of the Titanic Tuesday this evening. And let's do so by going to the phones. Let's go over to line one. Hey, welcome to the program.
How about Sharif?
Hey, what's happening, Jim?
How was Wednesday?
Oh, it was wonderful.
Do you have any more preparations to report upon?
Sorry, no, and I'll pass on that extra Schnitzelgruben too.
No.
I am not from Havana.
I see. Well, I guess Bubba down in Mississippi is saying now it's true.
Let me slip into something more comfortable.
Really? What? You know, he mentioned he was speaking from his mouth. No, he wasn't. He was speaking from his asshole.
Well, considering that he's one giant one, you know, I mean, every cell in his body is comprised of that. Yeah, I would tend to agree.
My God in heaven, I can't believe that, really. Well, I can. Of course I can. But, you know, that's just the way things are going. So,
I mean, we can't. We can't have educational equality in a place like Mississippi. What's the world coming to?
I don't know. I'm sure Florence King and her, who I've told you about a lot of times, in Southern Ladies and Gentlemen and Confessions of a Failed Southern Woman, would definitely agree with you upon that. I still wish you'd get around to reading her.
And I actually have a list here, and she's on it, and I need to do that.
Bob, that list has been over 7 years.
You should see how damn long it is.
I know. But the new Canadian whatever he calls it, he calls
Prime Minister.
Himself, is still Prime Minister, is still going to go along with the Keystone XL pipeline.
That's what it looks like.
Hmm.
Because,
well,
you know, business.
Well, that's the engine that drives it all.
I know, but the fact that they can't get their heads around no humanity, no business, no. Mm-mm. Yeah, well.
Well, business knows no humanity. You know that.
I know, but what a monumental degree of sort of self-absorption. The planet exists for the business, not the other way around. Wow.
Well, you know, these people have had their emphasis on the wrong syllable a long, long period of time. And they just don't care beyond their own existence or those of the shareholders of the companies, what happens to the rest of the people, you know?
Yeah.
Of course, these people are, according to John Calvin, the elect of God.
What we're talking about here is the triumph of Calvinism, isn't it?
Yeah, because I mean, you know, according to Calvin, it was all predetermined anyway, and those people who were going to go to heaven were the ones who would be able to get rich and prosper, and the other poor souls, regardless of circumstance, well, they'll be going to the nether regions, right?
That's the way it was designed, according at least to John Calvin.
He must have been. I mean, Martin Luther was bad enough, but John Calvin, can you imagine having to spend an evening with him?
Or, who was his protege in Scotland, Knox?
Oh, God. And those bastards, when, according to what I have read, when Mary of Scotland needed a confession, they sent her John Knox, that old fart who was like 70-something, hooked on to a 14-year-old girl.
And they claim, and they...
married a 14-year-old.
Right, and they complain, but they complain about Muhammad.
Really?
Yeah, you've heard all of that.
Sure have. I tell you, it's you know, when you start to look at all this stuff, you know, your mind goes reeling over a cliff and stuff like that. You know, it really does.
Well, it's hard to maintain one's equanimity, I guess. And I mean, you understand. We've had our disagreements over the years about religion, but you understand. I come by my disdain honestly. In a world full of John Calvins and Knoxes and, yeah.
Well, I understand that, but at least we whiskey-parians don't really condemn anybody.
And you know what? It took a while for him to get there, but I'm glad they did. It's kind of like the Congregational Church of New England. You don't get much more of it in the way of a liberal church now, but they didn't start that way.
Mm-mm. No, they didn't.
Oh, and by the way, just an aside, Jim, no sooner did I mention that maybe I was coal smoke free this evening than damned if the first whiffs didn't hit me. I kid you not. We got up near, I mean, you know what, today was beautiful. We got up near 80 degrees here. And my, I suspect, pillhead neighbor is chunking the hunks of coal on the fire.
Well, old habits are hard to break. Maybe if he.
Can you imagine me picking up the phone and dialing the WVDEP and saying, "Is this legal?" And having the WVDEP say, "Oh, you do know where you are, don't you? This is West Virginia. Of course, it's legal. If he wants to come sprinkle coal dust on your goddamn cornflakes, it'd be all right."
Yeah, you're right there. My God, I mean, is that his only source of heating in his house?
Apparently so. I mean, it's sad, but my God, there's it's toxic inside the home.
Well, Yes, I've heard you speak of that many times. There was a time when I had a coal-burning fireplace when I lived in South Carolina. And, you know, it wasn't very often, but I enjoyed a good fire on a coal night, of course.
But as Devin pointed out...
I kind of used Duraflame, too.
As Devin pointed out, though, a lot of the coal that you use in those kind of coal stoves, that's riced coal. I misread it last night. The little tiny grains of anthracite, hard, you know, the real hard coal.
Right, the hard coal.
That's down to about the size of a grain of rice, and it's not too disgusting.
But he's using bituminous.
Mm-hmm. Because up on the wall at the Wiggling Pig, you know, where people post the, you know, puppy found or, you know, fresh eggs for sale, you know, snake handling down to the missionary church, whatever. You can find them periodically. They'll post their house coal for sale.
House coal?
House coal.
Okay. And that's bituminous?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. In this case, it absolutely is.
Oh, God.
Or, you know, you can just go down along the railroad tracks and pick yourself up a few buckets from where it rattles off the trains.
Well, that's what people during the Depression used to do, and I'm sure there's some people now who still do it.
Oh, I have no doubt, but it's just damn.
Well, listen,
it's
getting
damn
back
sad
to a lighter subject. How was Bowie today? Did you have a good time?
It was a lovely time, being with the little ones and everything. We just had a delightful afternoon of it. Although walking through security there, because you know we're terribly worried that zombie Bin Laden is going to blow up our bridge. The state police sergeant who was sitting there just kind of watching everything said, "Yeah, crowd's way down this year," and it was. I mean, I've seen
it down to 8,000.
I've seen it so crowded that you can't, you know, it's just a press of flesh all the way across the bridge from the one side to the other. It wasn't that this year. The jumpers were down significantly because they screwed themselves by demanding a bunch of biometric data and, you know, a DNA sample and a couple of strands of your hair and your fingerprints. And you know, I think you had to lick a stamp for them or something. Yeah, it's just stupid.
My Lord. Well, I mean, you know, all they're doing is shooting themselves in the foot when they do stuff like that.
Yeah, well, I mean, but that's the institutional paranoia of the second decade of the 21st century, Jim.
No, that's true, too. That's true, too.
But they had their chili cook-off. The little ones were tired by then, so we didn't stick around for the chili cook-off. But they had their chili cook-off and the bridge jam there with all kinds of awesome bluegrass music. And it was a good time was had by all.
No, that's good. I'm glad you had a good weekend with it, or a good Saturday. And I guess Fayetteville was just, well, I guess the greater secret sandwich society was overloaded.
Overrun.
Yeah, that guy's done a lot of stuff. Good stuff since 2009.
Oh, they've grown tremendously. The menu's delightful. The ambiance is wonderful. And they just opened the upstairs area there as sort of a waiting area for downstairs. And they've got taps in both locations. They rent out, they call it the Grove, and they rent it out for, like, wedding receptions and meetings and stuff like that.
Hmm.
And they're doing great things over there. I mean, there's a really delightful little culture in Fayetteville.
Well, it's a very nice enclave. It really is. Absolutely. Absolutely.
And one of the neatest things is, to back up just for a minute, one of the downsides of a tourism industry is that it's seasonal.
Well, yeah, it
so,
is. So after October, it's gone.
Yeah, nobody. Yeah, there's nobody in their right mind goes down those rivers until March. But to the credit of the restaurateurs over in Fayetteville, they try really, really hard to keep their restaurants open year round, so that people can go there because they want to sell food, but B, so that the people who work for them have full time jobs. Yeah, have jobs.
Exactly. Well, you know, that's a step in the right direction. So, because, I mean, what would be the point? I mean, what other opportunities are there except for snowshoe and places like that or the Greenbrier?
Yeah, and of course, there's still vestigial old sot in their ways town people who resist all form of, you know, any kind of change or any kind of progress. But, I mean, getting a beer license in Fayetteville, Henry VIII had an easier time sending those missives down to the Pope for a divorce.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Well, is that like a dry county or a would-be dry county?
Oh, no. It's just that the fundies still have their hands around the throats of government. For instance, I mentioned the chili cook-off.
Yeah.
Well, a few years ago, they started the chili cook-off, and they wanted to sell beer out on the street. You know, make a kind of a street festival out of it. Mm-hmm. And the good God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered Christians said, well, you can't do that. Jesus wouldn't like it. And so the town council went, well, we can't do that. Jesus wouldn't like it.
I just don't understand. I see some of these programs on TV, and the other day, I don't know who, some guy named Jim Webb. Have you ever seen him?
Well, are we talking about the politician?
No, this is another Jim Webb who's a minister of the gospel, and he had communion on TV Sunday morning. I watched it, and he's got this hairpiece that looks like, and I'm not trying to make fun of the man, but he needs...
Oh, go ahead, Jim. These people are born to make fun of.
But, I mean, I have never seen such... It looked as though he had been to a cotton gin, and before he went to a cotton gin, being from the deep south, it looked like that he had put crazy glue on his head and then and then gone under the gym. I mean, and what the reason I'm bringing this,
just cotton balls?
I don't know, but and then he had communion, and he said, and he made the statement that when Christ, you know, had wine at the wedding at Cana, that he had grape juice, not wine.
Oh, Jim, that's an article of faith. They teach that in the Southern Baptist Theological Seminaries. When it says wine in the Bible, they mean grape juice. Never mind the fact that the little yeasts live on the skins of the grapes, so that if you start crushing grapes for juice, you can't help but wind up with wine.
Well, of course. I mean, you know, I just don't understand that. But, I mean, when I saw the guy, I first felt sorry for him, and I said, my God, I don't know who makes rugs or whatever, but you need to go see somebody else. And then he started going on with that, and I said, you know, I can't take this any longer.
It couldn't look any more fake if it had a chin strap.
I mean, you need to see this guy. Poor guy. I mean, you know, I'm in his own way, I'm sure he means well, but does he really? I don't know. I've almost gone beyond that degree of tolerance. But when I heard that story about the other thing, about it was Welch's grape juice. I mean, I know back in the 2,000 years ago, Welch's grape juice had a company over there, and that's who got it.
Well, and of course, you know, the reason it stays grape juice is because it's been pasteurized, and
they didn't even know about pasteurization.
Well, Jesus did.
Good Lord, have mercy.
He knew about everything, and yeah. So he was able to wave his hand over the wine jugs, and the little yeast processes would just die.
Well, you know, considering the time in which he lived and the situations in which those people lived, I'm sure they were often quite delighted to have some type of celebration in which they could get a little buzz on or get relaxed or whatever.
Well, that's why their holy book says take not over much wine. It doesn't say don't drink wine.
Yeah.
It says don't take too much.
I mean, I just wanted to, ask him, you know, what did Paul say? A little wine for the stomach's sake?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that type of thing. I mean, you know,
and where the ancient world is concerned, we need to understand, of course, that wine. I mean, it wasn't wine as we understand it. Vintages, and you know, there were no glass bottles.
No.
They were stored in clay amphorae at best, and could be pretty vile. If you think about it, you ever had bad homemade wine, Jim?
No, I haven't, but I've heard about people who have, and it's not a very pleasant experience.
Well, no, and so I mean, that's why the ancients watered their wine. To drink unwatered wine was considered a sign of being, you know, barbarian. When the ancient Greeks would get together to have themselves a party, they would because, you know, they were all democratic and stuff, they'd elect a president of the symposium. And the president's first job was to determine what the wine-to-water ratio would be.
I see.
And if the president declared that it was going to be very little water and a whole lot of wine, you knew that, the game was on.
Definitely a selling ticket.
Yeah. There were some ancient Romans who were known for the quality of the wines that they kept and their little oyster beds that they kept and things like that. But that's, you know, that's really, really 1% kind of stuff.
Right, exactly.
And so if you're living in a, and let's face it, the Middle East is a pretty miserable place.
Oh God, yes, it is. Look at it. Look at the terrain.
I mean, getting misty-eyed about the Middle East is like getting misty-eyed about Death Valley, as far as I'm concerned.
Exactly. Exactly. Hot, dusty.
Yeah, so you've got a chance to sit down and quaff a few glasses. Darn straight.
Mm-hmm.
And let's remember, most of the time, the water wasn't fit to drink in the first place.
No, it wasn't.
So maybe you up your water intake by putting some water into the wine, and maybe the wine will kill off some of the damn pathogens in the water.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we discovered that back in the Gulf War with Leishmaniasis. And, basically a lot of those people had to survive many generations to overcome drinking that sort of thing, because that's a terrible disease. It costs a lot of problems.
The mere sound of the word gives me the creeping horrors.
Well, it is. It is the creeping horrors, absolutely. But nonetheless, I just wanted to see how you and your tribe enjoyed Witch Day, and glad nobody fell off, and, except the attendance from, 100K to 80K?
Yeah. Of course the people fell. Well, they didn't fall; they jumped. They meant to. But I think the one thing that was interesting, I'd never seen parachuting there, as in out of an airplane. But it was weird. There was a plane flying overhead that in the afternoon. Looked like an old military airborne transport.
Yeah, C-130.
No, not even a C-130. More like an old Goonie bird. But it had a little plane flying escort right with it. And at one point, they dropped these rainbow streamers into the gorge, and those were for the purpose of determining wind direction. I never saw the parachutists go out, but I think they were at least contemplating it or something.
Bob, I'm going to tell you something. Unless you're there with a jump master, unless you're there in a situation in which you have to jump out of an airplane, which is the most, unwelcome thing one has to do. Why do these people do it? Well, they have to do it.
Yeah, my old buddy, the air traffic controller, said, "Dude, why anybody would ever jump out of a perfectly good aircraft is beyond me."
Absolutely, absolutely. And these people who are doing these somersaults off that bridge into that canyon, they just got to be nuts.
It ain't something I'm going to do, but then again, I don't go down the whitewater either.
Oh, no, no. that's pretty dangerous too, particularly those idiots who get in those kayaks and do it.
The new river is supposed to be fairly tolerable, depending on weather conditions. When the water's up, it's easier than when the water's down, because the rapids get more vicious when there's low water, because more rocks are exposed. But the gully then, with that outflood of water from the dam, that's just nuts.
Well, some people will do anything for a thrill, and if that's what they want to do, you know, go ahead. House only half full. That's all I can say, you know.
Yep.
That's good.
And for anybody who wants to see you, I mean, you can just go on YouTube and look up Gauley River Whitewater, Gauley, and I'm told it's a harrowing ride, and you couldn't pay me to do it.
No, you're asking for trouble when you do stuff like that. You really are. And you've no one to blame but yourself if you voluntarily put yourself in that kind of position. Well, listen, any more interesting things from Charleston and our and the Gov?
Everything is just centered on this visit by Barack Obama tomorrow. Your and my member of the U.S. House of Representatives, Evan Jenkins, has declared that if Barack Obama wants to help West Virginia, he can get the EPA off our backs.
I heard that too.
God, that man is dumber than a bag of hammers.
Yeah. I'll tell you one thing. I certainly miss Ray Hall. You know, Ray Hall wasn't, you know, he had his faults, but at least it was something different. And now that office down there on Prince Street or wherever the hell it is, I think he's in the next little office, maybe so. But at least, you know, at some point I thought I had someone that I could call.
Yeah. And after all those years, Ray Hall had assembled a very, very professional staff.
Yeah, he had. He still got one girl who's working for him, and the other girl left. And, of course, the other fellow, Paul Gonzalez, Paul would not mind talking about him. And Paul used to go out, and he would, you know, canvass the entire district. And as soon as his time for retirement came, he told me, he said, Jim, I'm getting the hell out of here. I've got bigger and better things to do than Paul's down in Georgia. And Ray Hall's got some kind of job up in D.C. I don't know what it is.
Well, would you come back to Beckley if you didn't have to?
No, not at all. Not at all. Not knowing what I know now.
No.
And so.
Well, and the other part of it, and I found this interesting. There was a story in the Charleston Gazette today. It's still the Gazette to me. Gazette Mail, please. But it was a story about the fact that the being out in front of the curve as we are. It was last week when I was talking about the fact that the court systems in this state are absolutely overwhelmed by the drug crisis.
Oh, yeah.
I think we were talking about a little town like Ripley. You know, can't cope. But there was a quote in there, and I kind of pulled my head back a little bit. It was kind of taken aback by it. The prosecutor of Fayette County, where I am, was talking about what the drug crisis has done in this county and to West Virginia. And he said, look, it's time for us to start getting serious about drugs. And he said, by that, I mean pills, I mean heroin, I mean meth. He said, and I am not talking about marijuana. And I thought for a county prosecutor to say that in West Virginia, that was the hair on a gnat's ass away from, will you please legalize this stuff so we don't have to waste any more damn resources on it?
Well, absolutely. A step in the right direction. Absolutely.
And I can't help but think it would probably be a net benefit for us, Jim, because haven't they already determined that in places like Colorado, that OD deaths have dropped significantly following the legalization of cannabis? Because, you know, nobody ever OD'd on cannabis.
No. I'm a living example of that.
And, well, yeah, even when they were using an aquarium pump blower stirrup bong, nobody ever OD'd on dope, pot.
No, and they get hurt rolling down the hill that time on Oscar Wilde's birthday. I mean, you know, but as far as this other stuff, these meth labs and heroin and all these oxycodone and different types of...
Well, and now the enterprising hillbillies, Jim, have taken to making bathtub fentanyl.
I've heard that too.
Dear God.
That's just absolutely deadly.
I mean, that's what took Michael Jackson down, isn't it?
No. Uh-uh.
Yeah, it was it was a fentanyl cocktail.
No, that was not. I don't think that was a drug. It was some type of sleep drug that he was using. It sounds like that, but I don't think it was. I may be wrong, but I'm sure somebody out there, within the sound of our voices, can look it up. And I used to know the name of the drug that he took, but that was a sad situation too, in which that person had to be on that administered by ND. I don't know what they ever did with that MD who was prescribing that stuff for him.
Well, you know, Elvis had his own MD that did the same thing to him.
Yeah, Dr. Nick or whatever his name was.
Oh, propofol. Propofol. You're right. I'm sorry.
Propofol. That was it. Exactly. But I hope they are because, I mean, it's really getting overwhelming. And even in the smaller hinterlands of the state, you know, where people have gone to raise families and stuff like that and have farms, they've got these things popping up all over, and it's just proliferating to the point that it's overwhelmed, you know, law enforcement. They can't handle it, and the courts can't handle it. Once they catch it, where are they going to put them? And these pill doctors and stuff like these pain management specialists or whatever they're called. I mean, they get these people in there and get them hooked on this stuff. And, hey, they've got an annuity for the rest of their lives, you know?
Well, in many ways, yeah.
Well, that's enough. Let me get off here. That's enough things that are bad. But I'm glad you guys had a good time at Bridge Day, and who knows? I think we have an announcement coming from Biden pretty soon.
In the next 24 hours, right?
That's what I've been hearing. I don't know. They're attacked upon Hillary.
I can't help but, it has to impact Hillary because there's already polling data that say that Bernie's people are staying with Bernie.
Well, that's good. I understand that the percentage of Republicans who are behind their candidates, whomever they might be, is about 20% higher than the number of Democrats who are behind their candidates based on, you know, the most recent polling data from CNN. I don't know. So, and the Donald is out front,
And God, he's just, at this point, T-Rump, and I don't like talking about him, but how can you not where this is concerned? If this was a heavyweight title match, it would have been called by now. He has just pummeled Jeb Bush.
Oh, yeah. Like I said the other night, I think, when I talked to you, Jeff Bush, or Jebbia, has the, you know, enticing qualities of a dial tone. I mean, there is no there. And nobody wants another Bush, I don't think, really.
The last two worked out so well, particularly the second one.
Oh, God. Well, the first one had sense enough to do what he did. The second one had no sense whatsoever and was just an absolute blithering idiot along with that.
Well, the fact that
asshole he had for a vice president, Count Dicula.
The fact of the matter is, Jim, we are relitigating, as it were, the casus belli of the Iraq War now, and there's Jebbia saying, and he keeps trying to trot out that he kept us safe line,
and
it's just become a joke. If Jebbia keeps this up, he's going to be a laughing stock.
Well, you know, he's just throwing good money after bad when he does it. And, you know, I don't know. I just wish we had never gotten involved with all those turbulent folk over there, but now we are, and it's a tar baby syndrome. We can't get rid of it. And, you know, I can't say a whole lot for Obama in a lot of that situation either. Just like I can't say a whole lot for the way the new health law came out and made the whole thing for cash cow for the insurance companies.
Yeah, maybe someday. Maybe someday we'll get universal single payer. But
well, who knows?
But contrary to that WOAY reporter from last night, no, Barack Obama is not for single payer.
No, not. And you know, I would think that Obama would simply sleep in tomorrow and not even bother to come over here.
I mean, no disrespect whatsoever, Jim, when I say it, but I am at a loss to figure out what's going to be accomplished by this.
Not one damn thing. He's going to come over here. He's going to have some type of closed meeting, maybe some type of press coverage, limited there, though it is, and then he's going to get back in that miniature, whatever he has that will be able to come in and out of Jaeger if some more of it hasn't fallen off into the gorge, and that'll be it. The president came.
And provided a platform for his detractors to scream and throw fits.
Now, remember when W came over here in 2004, or was it 2004?
Oh, he came here two or three times.
Yeah. Now, I remember I was on Dr. Bill O'Brien's show, and he asked me if I was excited about W coming over. And I told him, I said, Dr. O'Brien, if that asshole came to my front door, I wouldn't even open it.
Oh, I know. I remember I got in trouble back then because I wanted to get a bunch of guys in white robes to stand by the side of the robe and say, with signs that said Klansman for Bush.
Yeah, I remember that. I remember that. God, where have those days gone?
10 years. 10 years gone. I mean, you know, we're 10 years old here in a few days. It's amazing, isn't it?
Well, that's right. The 24th?
Yep.
Well, happy 10th anniversary to you. I can remember the night you came on. I couldn't believe it. I thought, you know, what has God wrought, or what has whomever wrought? And there he is. He's on the internet, and I was your first caller.
You were indeed. That is absolutely the truth.
My God, how time has flown.
It has indeed.
Well, listen, let me get enough perhaps some nostalgia, I guess we'll call it that, and I'll leave you to your other callers and your other things that you need to discuss. Take care.
All right, have a good night, Jim. Bye now.
Bye-bye.
Our buddy Jim, he was the first caller to the program on October the 24th, 2005. Indeed. By the way, just in case anybody was wondering, you can understand Jebya saying he kept us safe a lot better if by us you understand that means us, the Bush family, and more importantly, us, the Bush family's fortune. Right? Yeah. Let's run over. Let me see here. Yeah, let's run over to the stress line. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hi, Bob. It's Carol in Las Vegas.
Hey, Carol. How are you? Good to talk to you.
I'm okay. I don't have a lot of time here because I got to go to work tonight, but I want to let you know and everyone that if anyone's interested, the last Saturday night, the CBS program 48 Hours had their segment on the Shauna Tiafoe trial. And if you go to CBS.com and click on 48 Hours this week, you can watch it for free.
Oh, cool. Well, and, I mean, not cool, but yeah, very informative.
No, I understand what you're saying. It'll give you an idea of who she was. Her sister did a good job of digging up some a lot of, you know, video of her and her kid. And, you know, it was pretty interesting about the trial. Of course, you know, in a program that short, you can't cover everything. But also, in the beginning of the program, the younger women who they talked to briefly are all the women that I've been working with. A couple of them have moved away, but a couple of them are still there. But it will give you a good idea who she was and what the murder sort of was all about. So I just want to let everybody know about that.
And so this was this past Saturday night's 48 Hours?
Yeah, like I say, you go to CBS.com, click on 48 Hours, and it pops right up. But also real quick, since they brought, you know, you and Jim were talking about Biden getting in, I think that's going to be really interesting to see what his decision is, because he could possibly save the Democratic Party, because I'm one of those who believe that if Hillary's the nominee, she might very well lose.
I think that possibility is very real, Carol.
Yeah, it's not a good thing, but I think it's very possible. And, you know, I definitely think it's going to really knock Hillary down, because people who are for Bernie Sanders at this point, you know, are very strong for him, and Biden isn't going to make any difference to them. The only difference would be if Bernie didn't get the nomination and Biden did, people like me would stand a much better chance of being able to vote for him. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. And it is, and that's not to say that Joe Biden doesn't come with his baggage. I mean,
definitely not. Definitely
I mean,
not.
he's pro fracking.
I know. I'm not a big Biden fan, but I think that.
But you're saying it's easier to vote for him than it is to vote for you, at least. It would be easier to vote for him than to vote for Hillary.
Well, because I think that he, at this point in his life and what he's been through, I think might, if he was president, look at it and move a little bit to the left like some other presidents have done, say Kennedy, for instance. And we would stand a chance, even though, you know, he was in Delaware and the credit cards, I know all the stuff that goes on with him. I think that he might be a little against Wall Street. He'll get so much pressure from Bernie Sanders. Well, I think Hillary would just say, I don't care what anybody thinks, I'm for Wall Street. But also, you know, last Wednesday night, the guy who you have the religious banter with, at the end of that, he brought up the fact that at some point he'll tell us about his experience with Hillary Clinton.
I've had a lot of inquiries about that, Carol.
Yeah,
people want to hear.
I'm really looking forward to hearing that.
Yeah, people want to hear Eric's story, because Eric was pretty unequivocal in his.
He was pretty strong there towards the end. He said, "I flat out will not vote for her." So, I the truth is always worth having. That's for sure.
Oh, without a doubt.
Yeah. Well, hey, you know what? I got to get ready for work, but...
I hope you have a good shift.
If anybody's interested, you can just go to cbs.com in 48 hours and see who Shauna was, because...
I just had a note from Carol Baker. She says that she saw it and that it was a really, really, really interesting piece.
Well, yeah, they did a pretty good job. I think there are things that they couldn't get to that I know, and you know, when I have a little more time to talk, I'll go talk about it. But next week, I have to find out what day it is. I think it's next week, unless they change the date, that they're going to bring him back into court and sentence him on the other six counts. And if they do that, I'll be there and I'll let you know what happens.
All right, good deal, and I hope you have a good shift this evening, Carol. It's always good to hear from you.
Okay, well, you guys take care. Bye.
All right, you too. Bye, Carol. And again, that's cbs.com, 48 hours, and Carol's been keeping us apprised of this. Hanging any kind of adjective in front of the word murder is a bit superfluous, but horrifying murder. So maybe go and have a look. Let's run out. Hey, look, it's the Angry Indian. Hey, brother.
Hey, my man. How you doing?
Ah, pretty good. It's been a while. How are you?
Yeah, I'm still just getting over the fucking flu, man.
there's some sort of just totally ass-kicking upper respiratory thing going around.
I don't know, you know, but when you get older, these things really fucking kick you.
Yeah, it seems like they take longer to get over.
Yeah, you know, they broadside you. I don't even know where the fuck to begin, man. I wanted to talk to you yesterday about Uncle Ben Carson, but I got pulled away by Ms. Angry Indian, so I wasn't able to say anything.
This angry Indian. I'm sorry. That's cute.
Yeah. I mean, you know, there's just so much in terms of the craziness, because it would have fit in, you know, with Moran Monday, but this is, you know, Tuesday. So we look at what the fuck is happening, and it's completely off the board. We have people who are still, and what am I saying, people? The entire goddamn moneyed system that owns the mainstream media, they are still pumping Donald Trump as a legitimate fucking politician when he isn't. Now, you're talking about, you know, this is 2015 in the United States of America. I was raised here, didn't spend that much time here, but I was raised here. You were born and raised here. You know, motherfucking, well, I should say, before somebody comes up with a conspiracy theory, yes, I was motherfucking born here. You know, Donald Trump is taken seriously.
And that's the thing. I mean, I'm not pushing back against you, Angry, but he is a legitimate Republican candidate for president because he reflects the Republican mindset.
What the fuck they're about. But the whole time, though, they're telling me as somebody of color, this is not what they're about, that they're not about racism, that they're not about immigrant bullshit. You know, I mean, his own fucking mother was born and raised in Scotland. You know, who the fuck gave her permission to come over here? You know, what gave her permission to come over here was they wanted more fucking Anglo-Saxons, or what they perceived to be Anglo-Saxons, Western Europeans, people they conceived, you know, to be theoretically really white, as opposed to the Greeks, you know, the fucking Slavs that were coming in. They didn't want too many Italians. They didn't want too many Russians. But, you know, a lot of these Western Europeans were not building the bridges on the East Coast. You know, it was Native Americans, Russians, and Greeks, and fucking people from Bulgaria that built most of the skyscrapers in New York City. And, you know.
Well, Native American iron workers.
Native American iron workers. Yeah, you know, because for whatever reason, the Western European people that came over, we're not doing that shit. We'll clean toilets, but we're not fucking doing that. So, you know, they let them in because they had to, not because they wanted them. Now, you know, just like any fucking thing else, when you do, you know, have open borders, and this is true, and this is where Trump gets his little bit of credibility, is that when you do have open borders, well, you also take on the problems of these other countries. Like, remember the Mario boat lift?
Well, yes, as a matter of fact.
Right? Now, for black people, it was totally devastating. You know, we had just started to get a little political clout, you know, under the Carter administration in Florida. And you had at least one town that got chopped up called Overton. I don't know if you remember that one, but it was the black community of professionals. You know, mostly white-collar people. And they got moved out for a highway. So, you know, that was, you know, under Carter, there was a little bit of a change. You know, and what I mean by that is many of us were working. And then they had the Mario boat lift. Now, a lot of people were bitching about the Mario boat lift. But see, the thing about Castro is, Castro is a revolutionary politician. He said, fuck it. If you really want to take everybody, you know, everybody who really wants to get the fuck out of here that complains about the system, fuck it. Okay, you can have them. And I hate to say this, but let's be honest. He emptied out his fucking prison system. He took all of the people that they didn't really fucking want in Cuba, who were strained on the fucking system, and sent them out. The same thing England did when they founded this place. The same thing England did when they founded fucking Australia and New Zealand. So, you know, the people who evidently, you know, did well, who made these places what the fuck they are today, they were given an opportunity to do fucking better. So it's not in our DNA that we're screwed up. But the point is, you know, Trump gets a little bit of fucking credibility about that because you have Mexico, which is in a state of fucking disarray. And it's in a state of disarray because of El Norte. But nobody wants to discuss that. But the fact is, you know, a lot of the fucking problems that he's complaining about, people who work every fucking day, they don't want to have to deal with that type of crime. They don't want to have to deal, you know, with their daughter dealing with some, you know, guy who just came over and who sees their white, you know, daughter basically, and I'm being very serious and candid about this, who sees, well, if I hook up with her and get her pregnant, I can stay. These things are really happening, but he's exaggerating the problem. And he's using John Birch style, you know, conservative citizens council type of fucking rhetoric to get it through.
Well, and but you know what? We have to understand, Angry, that he would not use those tactics unless those tactics worked and unless those tactics appealed to people who held those sorts of feelings in their as parts of their core principles.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, that's what I just said. But that's what I'm saying. You know, all propaganda works. That's useful propaganda because there is a grain of truth to it. It's where it's exaggerated that you start to have the problems. Now, the stuff that I just talked about, I know a lot of people who are immigrants don't like to hear that shit, but it's a reality. That's like me saying that people in the fucking black community don't do crime. Of course there's fucking crime. But what we need to discuss is why this goddamn crime and who the people who are really being victimized are and who's profiting from this. And it's the same thing with Trump's bullshit. Trump doesn't give a fuck about immigration. Trump is a goddamn hypocrite. He just had lawyers, excuse me, not too long ago, that were trying to get visas for as many people as goddamn possible to work in his fucking hotels. He's using populism to get elected. The same way that, you know, when Hillary Clinton decided to go against the TPP when she's been pumping it all this time. They're using populism to get elected. And they can do this because the American populace has been totally fucking dumbed down. We see what just happened in Canada. And it's not that Trudeau is a real lefty. He isn't. He's center left. If anybody knows anything at all about Canadian politics, well, you and I do remember because Nixon called Trudeau, his father, Pierre Trudeau, an asshole. Remember that?
Yeah, they weren't fans.
They weren't fans. He called them asshole Trudeau. And made fun about him being a pipe smoker and all types of bullshit. You know, it was a total embarrassment to the fucking State Department when he did this. But, he was considered to be liberal, left, whatever the fuck, progressive. But he was totally anti-First Nations, you know, anti-Native American in his policies. And his son is saying, well, I don't agree with what my father did and what have you and such. But the people are realizing, you know, that they're moving to the center because they're realizing that the fucking shit is off the goddamn rails. You had the election of Turnbull in Australia. You have Corbyn in England. And now you have Trudeau in Canada. These are not radicals. I mean, Corbyn maybe is the most radical out of the bunch, you know, in terms of his past statements. But in these other countries, they have enough common sense to say, okay, well, we gave the goddamn right wing a little bit, and they went completely stupid.
And they took a mile, right?
They took a mile.
And I think, among other things, if I understand listening to the demographic, the Canadians who stay in contact with the Horn, you know, for instance, Canadians kind of like their national health care system.
Yeah.
And they realized that if they didn't do something about the conservatives, sooner or later they'd find themselves without it. As difficult as that is to imagine, you know, the right wing, the Canadian right wing is merely the metastasization of the American right wing. Pretty much the same with all of the Anglo nations. We develop the disease and it metastasizes elsewhere. And if you don't stop it, you got a problem. I mean, I don't know if you've seen it, but just to sort of shift the focus for a minute, are you familiar with the, have you read up or any of the, about the Pegida rally in Dresden?
Yep. And Haley, I have to, give her some credit. I didn't know she was reading the the German press, because I know I do in terms of looking for fascism linked articles. But she hit me to that. Yeah, it's pretty bad.
100,000 people showed up in Dresden to declare how much they hate Muslims.
Yeah.
And of course, Pegida itself, PEGIDA, is an acronym for the Patriotic Europeans Against the Islamization of the Occident. And to try to even pronounce that in German, I'm not that brave this evening. But they got 100,000 people or so together, and I don't want to be unfair. But I'm going to go there, aren't I? Whenever Germans are getting together to talk about who they don't like, I worry.
Yeah.
And there's a very
so does the rest of Europe.
there's a very real right wing in Germany, and one of the pictures I saw, of course, there were people flying German, carrying German flags, and somebody, of course, flying a Norwegian flag. Hello. Hello, Anders Breivik. I didn't know you were out on parole. But another photograph showing an immigrant walking down a stairwell where someone has painted in, of course, red spray paint, a swastika and the words "Raus, Hund," which is, of course, "Get out, dog."
Well, look, you know, it never went away. It was never going to go away. And, you know, Germany considered themselves, and it's fucked up in my own head because I'm still thinking of West Germany, right? You know, Germany themselves decided, okay, well, we're not going to suppress free speech. So we're going to allow it to kind of fester. You just can't fly your flags. Now, on the other hand, on the other side of the fucking wall in Eastern Germany, if you were a neo-Nazi and the security services caught you, or the fucking street gangs over there caught you, or any of the Communist Youth Leagues caught you, they found your fucking body later on. They didn't tolerate that shit, because just about every, you know, fucking Eastern European could talk about somebody who got killed by the goddamn Nazis or the Stasi, you know, or one of the other, you know, right-wing Muslim groups that were running around Europe. Oh, by the way, since I said that, have you heard, I sent the link to you. Fucking the Israeli press is quoting Netanyahu now that the Nazis didn't actually plan the European Holocaust, that the Palestinians did.
I had to mute when that thing came in. I had to mute the microphone and hoot like a barn owl.
I couldn't fucking believe this. You know, I mean, I've heard and seen a goddamn lot, but fuck, man.
Look, he's in bed with the Pastor Hagees of the world. Remember, Pastor Hagee said that we were supposed to be grateful to, you know, the little guy with the chaplain mustache for the ingathering that resulted in the creation of the. Oh my God, I'm not even quoting him right. By the way, I got the numbers at the Pegida rally wrong. It was between 15,000 and 20,000, not 100,000. So, but still, that's disturbing enough.
Still, fuck. I mean, you can look around, you see that many goddamn Nazis at one motherfucking time. That's a problem.
Well, and pictures of Angela Merkel, done up in the khaki uniform with a red armband with the Euro symbol. I mean, holy cow! And one of the speech makers at this right wing fest made a quip about concentration camps.
Well, look, you know, it doesn't help when you got Ben Carson, who will say some shit like, "Well, if the Jews had more guns, then they could have." And, you know, I mean, my wife and I had a bit of a tiff because I wanted to write something right the fuck away about him, you know, an open letter. She's like, no, don't bother, because you just get hassled, you know, for writing this shit. And I'm like, wait a minute, I'm black and I'm goddamn Jewish. What the fuck is he talking about? Does he know what the fuck he's talking about?
BB is coming completely unglued.
No, but he's playing that populist bullshit, and he's playing, I'm going to say this because this is what it is. I'm the good nigga. I'm not like these angry motherfuckers like you're listening to right now. See, I'm one of the good ones. I understand that the NRA is the best goddamn thing going since the Nazi fucking party. And I want to be on the side with the guns, and I want to be on your side. Because if I stay on the side of fucking justice, you might come after me. You might motherfucking lynch my goddamn ass. And my being a doctor and all that, and all the ass kissing I've been doing most of my motherfucking life won't save me. So the more ass I kiss now, and the more that I pump your motherfucking arguments, the safer I'll fucking be. That's what the fuck Ben Carson represents. That bullshit that he said about the Holocaust was motherfucking ridiculous. Now, you know, you just read something I wrote about this bullshit. I've been working on for a fucking year. I just talked about this. That motherfucker is going to turn around and say, oh, well, the Warsaw Ghetto uprising, if they had more guns, then they could have overturned all the fucking tanks. That they could have overturned all these professionally motherfucking trained and seasoned fucking soldiers. And also, what really gets me about this shit is that he's saying that if the Jews had guns and were willing to go against the fucking state, that was the right thing to goddamn do. Because in contrast, we could look at fucking Black Lives Matter and say, well, what the fuck, man?
Well, yeah, because see, I mean, that's the reason you wind up That's why Dr. King winds up where he winds up with you know, nonviolent civil action, because things devolve really quickly when both sides decide to start shooting.
Shooting. That's right.
I mean, so going back to Germany just for a minute, I mean, this stuff scares the hell out of me. Speaking at the rally this past Saturday was a German-Turkish writer by the name of Akif Pirinci. And he's Deutsche Welle reports that he's otherwise known for a cat-based crime fiction series and a libertarian blog called The Axis of Good. So he got up to speak to the group. He read from notes. He called refugees invaders. He called politicians goletier against their own people. Muslims are people who pump infidels with their Muslim juice, and said that Germany risks becoming a Muslim garbage dump.
Mm-hmm.
And then you know, that was the mild part. Here's the part that gives me the blind shudders. And when Jim hears this, he's liable to go and pull the blinds and lock the doors. So after he gets them worked up talking about Muslim juice and Muslim garbage dumps and all, and calling them the migrants, the refugees from the chaos that we created, calling them invaders, the crowd starts chanting resistance, resistance, resistance. At which point this guy says, who incidentally isn't a German.
That doesn't matter. He says, where the fuck is she from?
He says, of course, there are other alternatives, but the concentration camps are unfortunately out of action at the moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I heard about that.
Holy crap!
I heard about that.
And you know, I'm just sitting here in the middle of Appalachia, you know, got a microphone, got an internet connection, talking to whoever cares to listen, but I'm pretty well steeped in me some history, and I do. I get the horrors when I hear talk like that. And Jesus Christ! Now the other side of the coin is that prosecutors in Germany now say that they're going to investigate the speech for a possible charge of hate speech.
Mm-hmm.
And that's fine by me. Is Germany somehow less free because you can't say concentration camps are cool in Germany? I don't think so. I'm not one of those. No, I don't think a country is better off where right wing extremists can say, you know what, if we just had some concentration camps. I mean, look at what nearly 8 years of right-wingers hooting about Obama's FEMA camps has done for us. One, you know, show me one. Well, you know, it's under a Walmart in West Texas. Bullshit. But
well,
still.
Actually, again, remember that little bit of, like, you know, the grain of truth thing? There was a plan drawn up by fucking Oliver North. It's not a conspiracy theory. And they were looking at black activists. You know, it was actually an older plan. It was a revision of an older plan that was come up under Nixon because of what was happening with the Black Panthers and most of the race riots that were going on throughout the country at that time. Because they really thought that with Vietnam still going on, they might actually have to just round up a bunch of motherfuckers and just, you know, put them away. It didn't get to that point because Congress would not let them get that goddamn far. You know, you have Republicans like Goldwater were like, no, wait a motherfucking minute. You know, wait a fucking minute. You know, you can't do shit like this. So, you know, now it's like I said, things are just completely in goddamn disarray. You know, I mean, you had this McCarthy, and he comes up and says, okay, yeah, I want to be there. Now, he was a nutcase, but they went on Wikipedia and fucked up his chances by talking about an affair he had. Totally ruined him. Pushed him out of the way, right? So, and then they're telling Paul Ryan not to goddamn run. You know, what are we going to do? But, you know, Boehner left us in the wind. What are we going to do? You know, you know, when you read the international fucking press, they're looking at the United States and laughing their fucking asses off. But everybody's losing their mind.
Well, I don't know how hard they're laughing angry, because this could, you know, at best it's gallows laughter.
Well, it is. That's exactly what.
And as far as the, you know, the Freedom Caucus is concerned, well, I think they'd be perfectly happy for Boehner to just say, "I'll sit tight until you guys pick a new guy," and because the Freedom Caucus knows by past practice that they've got his balls in a vice.
Yeah, but why did they have a problem with him? Now, we've clowned this man the entire time he's been there, and, you know, and rightfully so. But the bottom line is, even he said at some fucking point, you motherfuckers need to fucking stop and get the fucking line. What the fuck is wrong with you? How many times are we going to shut the goddamn government down? We can't continue to fucking keep doing this. We're losing the confidence of our fucking customers. Not our constituents, our customers, right?
So, well, right, know, and that begs the question, you know, when do these guys who own these people, the Steve Kings and the Louis Gohmerts and so forth, I mean, they have to pick up the phone when, I don't know, ExxonMobil calls. And I mean, are they so ensconced in their own power? Are they so independently entrenched that they can just tell the when American business calls up and says, "Hey, you're killing us here," then screw you, freedom. I mean, what other politician can maintain their seat and do that?
Which
begs the question, Angry, does that mean that so far it hasn't become intolerable to the American business community, or so intolerable that they pick up the phone and fix it?
Well, a little bit of both, you know, and that's part of the problem. Americans like one answer for every goddamn thing, one pill, one vaccine, you know, just one thing to just deal with everything. This is monolithic, and we're dealing with a culture of fucking corruption, and again, a culture of stupidity. You know, the people who started this type of bullshit, and we can go back to Ever Benes and really make an argument about that. But the people who have been pushing this ongoing stupidity, the ongoing influence of the CIA and the military industrial complex in the entertainment fucking industry. Just like I said, I tried to watch some goddamn TV this fucking week, you know. You know, we're trying to spend some time. We're spending some time with another couple. We're looking at television. There's not a fucking thing that doesn't involve violence. Not a fucking thing that doesn't involve misogyny. Not a fucking thing that doesn't involve some form of fucking racism. Even the goddamn Empire show. I got a whole bunch of black folks down here in Portland. They hate my goddamn guts because I don't support this show. It's the same racial hierarchy we see in the system. Everybody that's in charge is a light-skinned black person. Everybody who's doing all the fucking yeoman work is dark, right? They're treated really fucking bad. They're made to appear that they don't have much fucking education. They don't carry themselves very well. It's like Dallas for black people and shit, but it keeps the same fucking racism going. Some other goddamn show she wanted to watch, Person of Interest. Everything is ex-CIA or ex-military or ex-special forces. You know, so we got a culture here of stupidity. And then you have politicians who are being fucking pushed by groups like the NRA, who say, if you don't keep this kind of fucking culture going, we know anybody that has, who's ever tried screenwriting, like I have, tried any goddamn way, you deal, go to Hollywood, the military fucking says, well, why can't you put in a little something about this? Why can't you put in a little something about that? I can't even watch a fucking cooking show that doesn't involve feeding the troops and honoring the troops. So the political fucking mainstream goes along with this. And everybody believes that they're Francis X fucking Bushman, and every time they make a goddamn statement, it's for the record books. You know, all of these goddamn, you know, megalomaniac fucking attitudes on the fucking right, and people on the left who figure that if they don't catch up with this kind of shit, they're going to be left behind. And how can we prove this? Here comes Joe Biden after all of the chaos that's been going on with Sanders and Clinton. Now he swoops in at the last motherfucking minute when he realizes that really, I have a shot at this because the military industrial complex is not going to trust the woman who's already been caught lying about Bosnia and a bunch of other fucking bullshit. And Sanders is a real fucking socialist that isn't apologizing for it. So I got a chance to fucking get in because nobody's heard of the other couple of guys, O'Malley and whoever the fuck else. This is part and parcel of the bullshit. the business community is allowing what's happening to happen because they're still in goddamn control.
That's my larger point, Angry, is that, and I remember going back to the Confederate flag debate in South Carolina and how Diane in Kansas Stan was kind of disturbed by my assessment that, well, when the business community decides it's tired of the Confederate flag, the Confederate flag will go away. And I remember Diane saying, well, you know, that's not how it's supposed to work, but that's America. Okay. The greatest truism of the campaign thus far is Bernie Sanders' statement that Congress doesn't regulate Wall Street. Wall Street regulates Congress. Mm-hmm. And that's part of it. Nothing happens for the general good of the people of the United States anymore. Everything is geared toward the well-being of corporate America because, well, corporations are people too, my friend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we all know Clinton isn't anti-corporate. We see Trudeau. He's not anti-corporate. He's not anti-corporate. He's pro-marijuana. He's going to try to make up things with the First Nations, right? He didn't mention black people because Black Lives Matter in Canada too, even though nobody motherfucking talks about it. You know, there was a point in the late 80s that I remember where there were black men who were dealing with the Toronto police and supposedly disappeared.
Oh, by the way, a little piece of breaking news for you, Angry. Carol tells me that Paul Ryan has just announced that he will seek the speakership if he is the unity candidate. And as Carol notes, that means that if he'll run, if nobody will say anything mean about him.
Well, he's getting backing from Harry Reid, who was openly referred to in the goddamn American press as a wet noodle and a spineless Democrat by the opposition. And he didn't really say anything about it. He didn't do anything about it. And he didn't have any legs because he and Nancy Pelosi were talking about impeachment. And then as soon as, things change, impeachment was off the table. So, you know, Harry Reid, you know, who also made comments about, you know, Negro dialect and bullshit like that, you know, it's part and parcel of what the fuck it is you and I are talking about. You know, he is not going to say to his corporate motherfucking customers, yeah, well, you know, I really need to do what the fucking is right for the country. And I'll just have to, you know, deal with y'all at another motherfucking time. That's not going to happen. And you know what? It's just coming to me now, and it's not unrelated, but one of the few American actors that's really worth any goddamn thing, Robert Redford, made a film called The Candidate sometime back in the
70s.
Right? That breaks down all of this shit. You know, his father was a, you know, regular goddamn Democrat, and here his son was, I really want to do something. I really want to make a change. And the more he got deep, the deeper he got into politics, the same way I did and you did and probably fucking Malloy and everybody else, you realize how corrupt every goddamn thing is. And you don't want to have anything to fucking do with it. You know, I mean, the best part of that movie is the fucking end when he looks at Peter Boyle and says, what now? What am I supposed to fucking do now?
Yeah.
We won this shit. What do we do? Can we actually implement the shit that we were talking about? And he got called out on everything. You know, here you come to the black community with a big fucking black bodyguard. And you have no real fucking answers for shit because you don't really know what the fuck's going on down here. That was the most honest motherfucking film about politics that was ever made in this country. And it should be required fucking viewing. But see, the culture...
Yeah, you make me want to go back and watch it.
Well, I remember. It's been a while since I've seen it. But see, when you look at Rahm Emanuel, who played on all of the superficial bullshit about things like that and got himself elected, what has he done about, say, Holman Square, where they say, you know, and it takes a British news agency to report this, more than 7,000 fucking people, 85% of them fucking African men and women, have disappeared in Chicago due to the fucking police force. A black site in Chicago under the watch of the Obama administration, under his former chief of fucking staff, who I should remind everybody is also a member of the fucking, you know, IDF, the Israeli Defense Forces. He left his political positions here to go serve in the IDF, I believe, as a lieutenant. which more than likely means he's also fucking probably a goddamn Mossad.
Yeah.
Well, and hey, you know, while we're on that bullshit and talk about fucking credibility in the news, look at Fox News. Have you seen the news about Wayne Simmons lately?
No.
Wayne Simmons, the guy who claims to be their intelligence motherfucker.
Oh, yeah.
For lying about being a member of the goddamn CIA or an employee, you know, like somebody has to receive a fucking pension. You know, this motherfucker was going around on Fox for the longest and filing legal paperwork saying that he was a fucking employee of the Central Intelligence Agency. And it turns out this motherfucker was a complete goddamn liar. So all of this, this guy has been on to complain about everything that's gone on with law enforcement in this country, institutional racism in this country. You would think that Fox News would have no fucking credibility. But then again, after Rebecca Brooks, you would have thought that they would have had no fucking credibility.
They don't. They don't. They don't have any credibility. They don't need it, Angry.
Well, yeah.
You know, if somebody already believes you, you don't need credibility. Mm-hmm. They already believe you.
Which leads me to something else that I wanted to ask you. Do you know that there are people who are still pushing this goddamn protocols of the Elders of fucking Zion?
Oh, sure. Absolutely.
I just saw something called, it's called Wars of Crime.
The Protocols of the Learned Elders.
Elders of Zion. I mean, I just saw a thing called, Wars of Crime, and then I'm looking at something right now that somebody hit me to, goddamn Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie. This used to be, what the fuck was his name? The cat that used to run who started Coast to Coast AM. I mean, they talk about UFOs and time travel. Art Bell.
Yeah.
Real fucking nutcase. Well, here it is. These people are connected to the fucking far right. They hang out with goddamn, I'm blanking on this fucker's name. He's got a lot of curly hair. He hates Jews and shit. He's got a site that Alex Jones quotes a goddamn lot. Whatever. It doesn't goddamn matter. He knows who the fuck I'm talking about because he probably listens to this fucking show. But anyway, here it is. One of the legends of the hip-hop world, Professor Griff, who's still pumping this Illuminati bullshit, is now on the fucking Coast to Coast AM show. Because he's one of these people that believes that the protocols are real. He's on, this is a black radical now, who's respected in the fucking community, mind you, who's on a white supremacist motherfucking radio program talking about the Illuminati. That's how fucking crazy things have gotten. When Trump can go on a goddamn platform and say that communism and socialism is the same and be endorsed by the Daily Stormer, by all of the other fucking white, by David Duke, by all of the other white supremacist news sites and fucking organizations in this country, and he's still considered the number one motherfucker on the GOP behind Ben Carson, who also is a favorite of the neo-Nazis.
Well, of course.
You know, we're living in a fucking, you know, I mean, this is crazy.
And from now till November 2016, it's gonna be, to quote our dear friend Tracy out in L.A., hotter than fish grease.
Oh, yeah.
The white
people are going to take America back. It's going to be a motherfucker, man.
Yeah, I noticed Larry Wilman over at Comedy Central has a recurring bit called The Unblackening. That's how he's covering that's how he's covering election 2016, the removal of the blackness from the White House. Yeah. And it's funny, and sometimes we, you know, it, like that jackass in Mississippi, you know, a black judge gonna take your money.
Money.
He's gonna take your tax dollars to keep your precious pumpkins from getting educated. And that black woman judge down in Hinds County, which of course is the seat of government, which is why that would be that way, gonna redistribute your tax dollars. I'd like to be I'd like to be wrong and think that, you know, I mean, okay, these are outliers, but we're way past the point of being able to think that they're outliers. I mean, the guy I covered on the program last night, my delegate in the House of Delegates in Charleston, who gets the approval of his electoral base by saying that he knows Barack Obama is a Muslim because he gives secret hand signs.
I'm laughing, but this shit ain't funny, man. You know.
It should be funny. It should be freaking hilarious. That clown Tom Fast should be laughed out of polite society. I mean, he shouldn't be able to walk into a room without everybody doing the fucking hand jive to him. You know, hey, which one's the secret Muslim hand sign, Tom?
Yeah, and like I said, you got so many. It does a lot of confusion, Bob. I didn't mean to cut you off, but when I'm looking at Trump make that socialism, communism remark, there were four black men sitting behind him with American flags draped over their shoulders, who was cheering all of the anti-immigration, all of the, you know, all of the misogynist bullshit and everything that you're talking about right now. That is part of the fucking confusion with this. So many of us are so goddamn desperate to get in. And there are people like Trump who will use as many black and brown, like Bush did and so on, to confuse this. That everything you just said will come out as like, what the fuck is Bob talking about? Because when I look at Trump and so on, I see black people behind him. When I see Ben Carson, I see a lot of white people cheering him on. They're not even going to understand.
There's a segment of the right wing populace that supports Ben Carson because he's sort of like Obama antimatter.
Yeah,
I guess that's an oblique Star Trek reference for the evening. I like that Ben Carson. If they say that, see, that proves that I wasn't a racist when I hated that in the White House. I hate him because he's a communist, socialist, fascist, Muslim, you slurper. Not because he's half black. That always worked the half black part in.
Yeah, because Carson's all black.
But see, the fact that I like Ben Carson, I mean, he's born here. And he's the grandson of sharecroppers. And see, that don't bother me none because we ain't got no racism in America no more. So I'm going to go vote for me some Ben Carson because that proves I'm not racist.
Yeah, but they did that. That was a Putney Swope move they did with Obama. You know, full motherfucking well, Brother Bob, there's plenty of people that voted for Obama saying, yeah, well, you know, this would be my feel-good thing because that nigga ain't going to win any goddamn way. And then when it was over, it was like, oh, the Electoral College. What the fuck is that?
Oh. Well, yeah, I mean, yeah, there's definitely some of that. Now, and maybe you can help me with this. I don't know how to do it, but the one thing about Dr. Senator Secretary Clinton's campaign is that she is said to have the black vote. You know, you got to hang the quotes around that because, you know, who's responsible? But she's got the black vote all sewed up.
She probably does, actually.
Well, she probably does. But how is that? Is that because Bill Clinton was our first black president?
Well, the only reason why Bill Clinton is considered the first, well, two reasons, actually, is that, and I can't even remember exactly which female black writer said this, she made that comment, and she was selling a lot of books on Oprah's show at the time. I think it was Toni Morrison, and people went for that. The second thing was he did something that no other, you know, fucking presidential candidate had done. And that was to go on the Vibe show with Arsenio Hall and make a plea to the black community that I see you and I recognize that you have
problems. And then three years later, he knuckles the entire poor community of the United States with the welfare reform.
Well, welfare reform passed in NAFTA and GATT, passed in the Omnibus Crime Bill, at that time known as the New Crime Bill, was meant that if more than three or four black men are standing together, that was a conspiracy. And that if you have dreadlocks, you can be stopped under federal guidelines. He brought racial profiling back into federal government. There was a case in New Jersey where two different police agencies were chasing a van. Now, there's never been any understanding on what the fuck they were actually chasing this van for in the first place, because the van was legal. The person who was driving it had a license. These were some young folks that were coming from a party. Maybe somebody was drinking, but I don't remember that detail. But in any case, they finally cornered this vehicle and shot into the vehicle multiple fucking times, killing two people. I believe it was two people. One of these women was pregnant, these young women. And they got off on this saying that, hey, you know, there's federal guidelines under the new crime bill that Clinton had signed in that says that we can racially profile. And they dropped the entire fucking case. Both agencies were totally vindicated, and they just dropped the whole goddamn thing. The majority of, I mean, he's talking about this now, copping on to his, you know, getting people locked up with these minimum sentences because he's trying to get some play for his wife. Yeah, I'm sorry. I did that. Don't hold her responsible, even though she was there planning this shit with me. She's a fucking lawyer. But, you know, we knew this was going to happen, but we didn't give a fuck. It's the same thing with the goddamn Obamacare. You know, the Republicans drew it up first, right? You know, the Heritage Foundation drew this shit up first. Clinton tried to implement it and hand it over to one insurance company. You know, Obama rewrites it a little bit, or his people rewrite it, and they spread it out a little bit, so then it passes. That's what the fuck we're dealing with. We're dealing with corporatism. You know, what Mussolini called fascism. And just because you can vote in fascism, that you know, what the fuck? Why doesn't democratic fascism make any sense to anybody? The corporations are in control.
Well, and that's one of those things that we have to be careful of, Angry. This notion, because on the progressive side of things, usually using the word populist has positive connotations.
Well, for some people.
But it doesn't always.
It doesn't always, you know.
Donald Trump's appeal is strictly populist. And it's a scary populism that he's engaging, because the people who support him are terrifying, and they're terrifying because they're terrified of the other that they've been conditioned to be terrified of. I mean, you know, can you imagine Emery and Marveline? I mean, they don't think nothing of it when they propel themselves out of their matching Barca loungers there and get up and go out to the strip mall and sit down to a lunch number F at the Mexican restaurant. They don't think anything about it because the folks working there, well, you know, I mean, there's Mexicans. They're supposed to be working at a Mexican restaurant. But then they go back home and get in the Barca loungers and turn on the TV, and there's Donald Trump talking about Mexican rapists. And suddenly Marvelines are thinking, my God, I went to the restroom there. It's a complete absurdist disconnect. And by the way, we got a note in from the marvelously coherent Diane in Kansas, Stan, subject line, Angry. She said, it's a great night when Angry calls in. You and Angry really get to the truth, as ugly as it is. By the way, Diane says, this stuff has infected LinkedIn, where there are constant posts from one quarter glorifying the police and warriors and even Jesus. As you may know, LinkedIn is not designed for such stuff, but that doesn't stop the right wing. It infects everything. And that's the truth. I mean, that little catchphrase, this is why we can't have nice things.
I can make the argument, and I've been making the fucking argument since childhood, that, you know, if certain people don't have nice things, it's just because that those who do tend to have nice things don't want to share anything with any fucking buddy. You know, when you grow up in a ghetto, community, background, meaning you can't get out. And when you do move to another neighborhood, there's another fucking ghetto, you know. When you finally are able, if you're able to fucking get out, and in my case, I was able to, you know, and you look around and you're like, well, damn, you know, how come people here are so much nicer? And when you accidentally bump into somebody, it's like, oh, excuse me. Well, you know, have a good evening. And, you know, folks are more likely to hold the door for a lady and to, you know, to move aside for children and shit like that. Well, because they have. They don't have to worry about eating that evening. They don't have to worry about where the fuck they're going to put their head. They don't have to worry about not having a job tomorrow. They don't have to worry about, you know, fucking, you know, maybe to a worrying degree about what's going to happen in their elder years. They don't have to worry about their neighbor who doesn't have any fucking thing trying to rob them because they're starving. You have to share this shit. But when you're a selfish son of a bitch, you don't want to share anything with any goddamn buddy. And then you complain about everybody not fucking, you know, all these people don't goddamn have. You know, one of the things, if you really wanted to fix the immigrant goddamn problem and fix the crime problem that goes along with it, is fucking employ these goddamn people and educate their fucking children. Bring them into the fucking society. Bring them into the fucking society. Yes, I understand, and I tried to write about this, and I tried to argue about this on my own show. Yes, it is very disconcerting for a white person, or even a black person, especially for some black folks and Native Americans who could not get anything out of this society. And then, you know, your neighborhood within, you know, 4 years, because it's happening that quick in some places, where you go from English store signs and whatever to all of a sudden, you know, where you had like maybe 4 stores, to now 18 goddamn stores, and it's all in Chinese, Mandarin Chinese. That's a shock to a lot of fucking people, and you have to recognize that.
Yeah, imagine what a shock all those signs in English were to the, to the folks who got colonized on 500 years old.
Yeah, you know, but it was the same deal. But what I'm trying to say is that, you know, this society has never actually, it only talked about the melting pot between, like, what, 1955 and the 1980s, you know, because they had to start trying to get people to consider getting along with each other from, you know, Philly, you know, Newark, my experiences, you know, Miami, you know, where you had people who were coming in who did not speak the same language, had different religions, different cultures and shit, and all living in these fucking places. And, of course, they left home because they weren't doing that goddamn well. And
but
that's
these continents have been not just these continents, this globe, and that's something that I have a hard time explaining. I don't know. I don't think the Horn Family Commune congregation has a hard time comprehending it, but in the larger sense, yeah. Migration is the defining act, not the wheel, not fire. Migration is the defining act of the human species. I mean, that little core group of humans that killed down to 2,000 or so exemplars, and then they breed in Africa, and the first thing they do is they start moving. It's not in our nature to stay put.
I understand what you're talking about, but there's a, you know, historical and political difference with that, because one, you know, even when you go back far enough, because remember you and I had a slight disagreement about guns, germs, and steel, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, they were moving because they had to. They had to move. Well, you know, we're not able to grow anything here, so we got to split. There's not enough grazing, whatever hell, so we got to move along with it.
Yeah, the seas just raised and inundated where we live. We got to go.
Well, yeah, of course. I mean, again, nothing is monolithic. In a lot of cases, it was simply thus exploring. But in most cases, like, say, with Scandinavia ending up in North America, they needed lumber. They had to go find some. Oh, well, what the fuck? Look at all this, you know. Maybe I'll stay here because they don't like the way I run my life and my business and bullshit, and I want to be my own big man and have my own tribe and shit, and I'm just going to move over to and call it Greenland. You know, yes. Again, all of this is, you know, not monolithic, but right now in the 21st century, politically speaking, those of us who consider ourselves to be whatever the fuck the left is has to be realistic about certain things. People are migrating now because of war and conflict and because of poverty, not because they just want to live in the United States. Of course, there's a percentage of people. Most of the people I hung out with, they came over from England, from Australia, whatever the fuck, and that's how I became international, was because they wanted to see what the United States was about. They were traveling. They were young and they had that freedom. But now we're looking at people who are running with whatever the fuck they can carry because there's wars and bullshit going on and all sorts of exploitation, and they can't stay. That's a big difference. When, you know, I grew up with immigrants from all over the fucking world, and majority of them will tell you, I'm not here because I want to be here. I'm here because of fucking what the fuck was happening.
I'm here because I didn't want to be dead.
I didn't want to be dead, or I didn't want to starve, or whatever.
let's look at Western Iraq and Syria, and that's it.
Well, yes, but then you also have like South Korea. A lot of the Koreans that come to the United States, I noticed because I worked with them. They are converted Christians. There's a pipeline that was started by Billy Graham, And it's all over the world that if you convert to Christianity, they like try to fast track you to the United States. That's how a lot of these folks end up. And they have these all night stores and whatever. They didn't do that back home. It's the same thing with the Chinese that came here. The Chinese associations that were working with the United States that were bringing a lot of Chinese in from the mainland. There's a reason why there's so many Chinese food restaurants around the country. That was part of their plan. These people didn't have any skills back home. They were farmers. They took whatever kind of day work they could get. They trained them, and then they give them a loan, a high-interest loan, by the way.
That they can never repay.
That they can never repay. You know, that's why these places stay open 24 hours, and their shit is much more expensive than the average bodega, and we get angry with them. But if we don't talk to them, we don't realize that they're being, you know, hooked. They're being taken advantage of by their own people.
Or that's the New York Times story about the nail salons.
Yeah, that's another aspect of it. You know, when it's like in Seattle, when I was living up there, you have the Ethiopian community. They basically run most of the hotel work and most of the parking garages. It's the way that's been settled in. But if you don't know that, people who can't find work for whatever reason don't understand why they can't get these jobs. They're angry with these people. But it's not their fault. They're running from situations at home, situations that are caused in Fleet Street, situations that are caused on Wall Street, situations that are caused in Brussels, situations that are caused in Germany. Excuse me. When they make these economic plans, like when we look at what happened with the breakup of Yugoslavia, it was because they didn't need Yugoslavia anymore, and the business community wanted to go in there. Slobodan Milosevic, he was a jerk. And he was a bigot in a lot of goddamn ways. He was not the best representative of the Serbian people. He was an opportunist, but he refused politically to sell out the entire, you know, country. So they got rid of him, labeled him a war criminal and what happened. And when you really look at what the fuck happened, German intelligence was behind that. The U.S. came in opportunistically and wrecked that place for the benefit. I remember Bill Clinton on C-SPAN. I was in a restaurant, and he said, yes, we have to get rid of Milosevic. It is an economic imperative of the United States that we remove this man. So that is what people are running from. And when you look at what happened in Yugoslavia, and then you take into account after the ethnic cleansing and after the war trials and what have you, all of those combatants now, well, not all of them, but most of them, are now the number one goddamn drug dealers in that part of Europe. And they're selling women. And they're selling children, mostly Turk and Roma people who have no goddamn defense from their own fucking governments because of the prejudices against them.
Well, naturally, I mean, because that kind of business, if you will, is capitalism in its purest form.
Purest form.
Capitalism always preys on the most defenseless.
That's right. I can't stand gangsters. And this, you know, Gangland TV and Gangland this and fucking video games, you know, promoting.
Yeah, but please, Angry, can we stop referring to them as gangsters and or mobsters or whatever and simply refer to them as what they are? Capitalists.
Capitalists.
I mean, I can't express it any more plainly. A warlord in Somalia or a warlord in Afghanistan? That is the Jungian archetype. That is the model of a CEO. Take an Afghan warlord, clean him up, put him in a business suit, and stick him on Wall Street, and you can't tell him from Lloyd Blankfein.
Nope. Not at all. The mafia. I mean, come on. The mafia still controls olive oil. You can't buy a bottle of olive oil that doesn't come through the fucking Italian mafia. And look at what they do to the prosecutors and the DAs that try to do anything about them in Sicily.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, this is why I say, you know, fascism is not a new thing. This shit has been going on for a long time. It's changed forms. You know, it's changed attitudes. But when you talk about opposition to the left, you look at what is supposed to be the criminal element always working with the state. To stop organizing of workers, to stop the organizing of anti-discrimination, you know, groups and so on. They send in the crooks. When the Black Panther Party for Self-Defense was organizing in Oakland, the police were giving intelligence against them to the local gangs. And then after they got rid of the Black Panther Party, you're left with the Crips and the Bloods. No discipline, no political ideology. They went straight from black power to criminality. Bang. The same way the Irish Republican Army, what's left of it.
Well, that's because you have to finance this stuff.
You have to finance the stuff. And then the money gets good. And then they keep goddamn going. I mean, what is this? This El Chapo cat that everybody's writing about? If I understand correctly, he came out of the L.A. prison system.
I think he you're right.
He didn't go in that way. And how many motherfuckers got in there?
Yeah, he studied at criminal university.
You know, how many guys were vagrants from El Salvador, Nicaragua, whatever, got picked up in L.A., got picked up in Texas, got picked up in Louisiana, picked up in Arizona. They end up really doing some heavy fucking time, going in there for it's supposed to be 3 weeks and end up fucking staying there for 8 goddamn years and then get deported. And now they leave tattooed. They've been cut a few fucking times and shit. They go back home. They start goddamn gangs. And you know, again, hip hop culture, the music culture, shit like that, they refuse to take responsibility.
But I got to back up. Let's rework our language, Angry. They don't start gangs. They start capitalist enterprises.
That's right. That's right. I stand corrected. Yeah. Yeah. You know, they do the... But see, they're going through the Genghis Khan school, right? You know, they're not going for a Class 7 license and shit to work on Wall Street.
No.
They're going straight to the root of
it. Oh, yeah.
And then average people get fucked up in the middle.
I've got a link here. I don't have the audio right in front of me, but I got a link here from a judge in Perry County, Alabama. The SPLC, I think, has filed suit against the guy. He hauls people in front of them who owe fees from previously imposed fines for being poor, because that's the way, and Perry County, Alabama is a majority black county. It is, in fact, the county where they took the TVA ashbergs from the great coal ash dump of a few years back. They put it in rail cars, and this toxic, hyper-concentrated, heavy metal-laden filth, and put it in their county landfill, where it's now leaching into their streams and making people sick. The judge down there, if you end up in front of him, will tell you that you have a choice. You can pay your fine, or you can go give blood. Literally, blood. They are in Perry County, Alabama, there is a circuit judge who is literally sucking blood, or having blood sucked out of indigent defendants in satisfaction of the judicial system in that benighted state. And, of course, it's the same state where they just disenfranchised black voters in 10 different counties.
Yeah. And didn't apologize for a fucking thing.
I mean, and you know, maybe that's just too micro for something, someone like the chief executive of the United States. But if you were president and you heard about that, wouldn't you at least ask one of your advisors, Angry, can't we do something about this sumbitch?
Well, if I was, or you were, or maybe Justin Trudeau, or Turnbull, or Jeremy Corbyn, or somebody, you know, or maybe even an Angela Merkel, sure, you know, or John Key, maybe, you know, I mean, possibly.
You know, just say, but hey, get bring the phone in here. Get that asshole on the line. We're going to have a talk.
But we're looking at Obama now, who said that he will put on a pair of comfortable slippers and march with labor. There's been a fight here for $15, you know, minimum wage. I haven't heard him hit the street yet, you know. And while that's happening, you got groups like the Nation of Islam out here telling people that, you know, vaccines are giving black children, it's a plot against black, you know, children, give black males autism. You know, they're also saying that they have a cure for AIDS. I mean, it's just all kinds of bullshit. So you have a black community that wants to hang on to Farrakhan for shit like that. And they're doing Scientology now too, right? And then you have, you know, Al Sharpton promising all kinds of fucking blue sky, right? Because he can bring the cameras to an event, even though when you look at his background, it's fucking shady as hell. And then, you know, you got Obama, who is supposed to be our black prince, and then, you know, Black Lives Matter, what you just talked about, a bunch of other goddamn things, people being disenfranchised in Alabamistan, and he's not saying any motherfucking thing. He's going after whistleblowers.
Right. I mean, that's like Hillary saying, you know, Snowden should have come back and he would have had whistleblower. No, he wouldn't have.
No, he wouldn't.
I mean, I got some issues with Snowden. You know, okay, whatever. But the one thing is a fact. He could not have had federal whistleblower protection because he was not a federal whistleblower. He was one of those vaunted contractors. And by the way, I got to back up for a minute because Nikki just said, "Say what about that judge in Alabama?" His name is Perry County Circuit Judge Marvin Wiggins, and he compels blood donation. What if you're a Jehovah's Witness? You just go to jail. So just real quick, Angry, if you can bear with me here, let me run Judge Wiggins' audio here. The Southern Poverty Law Center has filed suit against this guy. It's disgusting.
Have a seat, and I can hear you better. Just in my bed, sir. Hang on a
second.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Those who are here for a single doctor. There's a consideration that the blood drive outside, if you're not having the money, you're not going to go to jail, as an option to pay it, you can get blood today. If you're not having the money, go out there and get blood, bring your slip back and receipt, indicate you're giving blood, and send that at a discount rather than putting you in jail, if you're not having that money. So if you're not having the money, you're not going to go to jail, consider giving blood today, bring your receipt back, or the sheriff has enough handcuffs for those who do not have money.
You got that? If you do not give blood today, the sheriff's got enough handcuffs for those who do not give blood.
Now, you know, if that was happening in Cuba, could you imagine the fucking outrage?
Oh, goddamn.
Or Syria or some shit, you know. I mean, could you imagine the fucking outrage about, oh, how dare, you know, they're just totally...
Well, hell, yeah, that's kind of halfway to Falun Gong, isn't it?
Well, I don't know. I mean, they claim they're legit with that too, right? You know, I mean, look, when you don't think that someone is a human being, you can come up with shit like that. I mean, we got motherfuckers in the GOP that are actually advocating slavery for immigrants. They've been trying to bring back slave lease. Yeah, well, actually, they are doing slave lease in your part of the country. What am I talking about?
Oh, yeah.
They are doing slave lease.
And so this is a black circuit judge in Alabama who is bleeding the citizens, because we're talking about citizens, who's bleeding the citizens who come before him, while a little bit to the west, you got a white judge in Mississippi who says, well, I don't appoint him lawyers because, well, hell, they all guilty and lie to you anyway.
Anyway.
I mean, they say they've been in jail for a year and ain't had no lawyer, but you know what? I ain't heard none of them axing for one.
It's always the fault of the poor.
Sure.
It's always the fault of the poor. And see, and again, this is what I'm saying. You know, one of the things that Trump was talking about with his bullshit, oh, they wanted to distribute the wealth. Well, you know, socialism and communism, you know, nodding his fucking head like a bobble. You know, it's the same fucking thing. You know, Ben Carson with that same shit. We shouldn't have to share any goddamn thing. Well, see, go ahead. Keep fucking doing that. And what you're going to end up with is, you know, these uneducated, unwashed folks who have no plan, who are just going to bust the goddamn dams, you know, knock the fucking walls down, knock everybody in the fucking head and take the shit. And then we're going to be right back where the fuck we started. We're going to be right back where the fuck we're
lather, going. Rinse, see, lather, rinse, repeat.
You know, this is what scares me. Because, you know, the type of bullshit that they're talking, and this is why Canada has voted the way it did, Britain has voted the way it did, Australia, eventually New Zealand, voted the fucking way that they're doing. They're not really going to the left. They're trying to go to a reasonable fucking center. Because they realize you can't keep doing this shit. If you keep fucking doing this, the crazies will take the fuck over. Trump and these guys are pushing for a fucking far right takeover. That's what the NRA is about. They believe that if they can fucking get enough guns into enough goddamn hands of people who think like them, they can march on Washington and make them do what the fuck they want to do. If you look at their websites
and listen
to their dumbass podcast, that's what they talk about.
They are an internal insurgency who are biding their time until they can give the go code, as it were.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, sometimes after the program ends, and we're pretty close to the end of this one, Angry, but sometimes after the program ends, I try to relax somehow. And I sat here the other night, I poured me a couple of fingers of Canadian Cuban rum, and stoked up a cigar, and watched the 1970s classic Soylent Green.
Soylent Green. And we're already there. How do we know we're not?
Well, the first thing you got to do, you look at Hollywood's idea of the future, and you think, I'm not talking about the substantive part. I'm talking about the way that they always assume that we're going to dress.
Uh-huh.
And it's like, wow. but there's a lot of that movie. I got to thinking, why has, of all the movies that have been remade, why hasn't this one?
Well, there was supposed to have been a remake about 4 or 5 years ago. I heard through the grapevine, but I don't know what happened to it. I mean, they're remaking everything anyway.
You remember what struck me is, you know how the right wing says, well, in the 70s, we was all going to freeze to death in a new ice age.
Well,
this is a 1972, 1973 film, and they're talking about the desalination of the oceans. They're talking about the greenhouse effect. They're talking about global warming. I mean, it's not some Johnny-come-lately.
No. Well, look at Rollerball, right? We're talking about the same period.
Yeah.
You and I have talked about this before. The parallax view, shit like that. That was a period of movie making in terms of the United States where, you know, the creative community said, okay, we need to expose this. How are we going to do it? And, you know, they used the medium of film. Now, Rollerball, you know, envisioned the 21st century, where the fuck we are right now, where there's no governments. Everything is corporatized.
Yeah.
And you know,
maybe they misunderestimated the dating. Maybe they misunderestimated the time that it would take. And I said that's a Bushism that it would take to get there. But we're getting there. We're getting there. We got to get out of here, though, Angry. Dadgummit.
All right, my brother.
It's been a lovely conversation. Hey, thanks, my friend.
You know, and hey, if you guys can support this show at all, please do. Please, you know, try to, you know, keep Bob on the air. All right, peace.
Thanks, Angry. And what Angry says is true. We're going to close the evening. The Jackson 5, as the saying goes, played Beckley. Five Jacksons arrived in Beckley, Boss Man Wayne tells me. So that means we finished the program needing to raise $100 to sort of stay even. Thank you very kindly, one and all. Nothing rolled in this evening, but some evenings you'll have that. We'll be back tomorrow evening with Prayer Meeting Wednesday, I presume. Yeah, Roger in Oregon says a Soylent Green remake now would be a documentary. Probably true. Thanks, everybody. Got to get out of here right now. Gina, always, it's all for you. Good night, y'all.